Tomorrow's News Today. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
It's Monday, April 13th, 2026, and we are now in a new world war, any way you slice it. America has been trapped. America has been set up. America has been fooled. President Trump knows Israel lied to him to get into the war and launch the attack, but he wants to save face. But every day he escalates the war. Now with the blockheads right over Moose, he only gets us into deeper quicksand. This is COVID 2.0. This is the Great Reset. We have to attack Iran so they can close the Strait of Hormuz, so we can keep attacking Iran so they can open the Strait of Hormuz. And then we need to send in the Navy ships, even though the admirals have told Trump they'll be up by the shoreline where the short and medium range missiles and artillery can totally destroy them. Then Americans will become enraged and will be in a full ground war invasion. That's the plan to get us into full war. And above that, the globalists want that because it will cause a global depression. They're calling it COVID 2.0. And Larry Fink at BlackRock and the Rothschilds are so happy. Trump's now saying we're back at war, limited strikes. Why? We've dropped 15,000 bombs. Well, you dropped over 7 million in Vietnam, and they didn't give up. And the Iranians are even more dug in and worse. As I said 40-something days ago when this started on March 1st, if the Mullahs fell in 3 days, I'd say, wow, Trump's got the magic touch. I'm not fans of them. But no, this is bigger. It's about bankrupting the U.S., having a world depression. This is all going down right now. This is a total trap. If you follow threat escalation ladder, the Pentagon studies, that's why I know all this, because it's from the Pentagon. They told him, don't do it. That's on record. This escalates into full ground war, total war, and then Russia and China probably get involved. Iran is not Iraq. Iran is not Afghanistan. It is 100 times worse, and here we are. And you got all of these white pillars that say he's Jesus and he's unstoppable. And he even told Tucker 3 weeks ago, hey, everything always goes my way. Well, it ain't going your way, Trump. You've had the American people behind you. That's why you've been successful, and you've been strong and had a lot of will, did a lot of good. But now you've made a turn for the worse. Now your staff's calling you Jesus, and you're posting memes where you're Jesus. I mean, come on. This has disaster written all over it. Pull out now. Declare victory and stop listening to Netanyahu and Jared Kushner.
So that, ladies and gentlemen, was, of course, Alex Jones with a message this morning. You can find and share that on his X at Real Alex Jones. I, of course, am Harrison Smith. I'll be sitting in for Alex for the first 2 hours of today's show. We have absolutely huge news, as you just heard Alex say. We are essentially in World War III. We've got some interesting rumors about that, including a rumor that following the negotiations, the failed negotiations for the ceasefire, there may have been a little assassination plan that may have been thwarted by the participation of Chinese and Russian jets escorting the negotiators back to Iran. Again, this is unconfirmed, but these are the types of rumors flying around, as China does seem to be a big beneficiary of what's going on with Iran, and the rest of the Western world is, it seems, preparing for full-fledged deployment. We'll be covering that today. We have a lot of stories to cover today. Obviously, the Iran war is going to be first on the docket, but we're going to get into what's going on in Iran, and we're going to get into what's going on here in America as the left simultaneously collapses into its own stupidity while also gets planned, gears up plans for total tyranny if they ever get back in power. Gavin McGinnis will be taking over for me halfway through the show. Very big show today. Stay tuned. And then Jason Burmis will actually be taking over War Room for me today. So stay tuned. We'll actually come back after a short commercial break with another message from Alex Jones, and then we'll hit the ground running with all of today's biggest headlines. It's the Alex Jones Show. Infowars.com, band.video. Support us at thealexjonesstore.com, and we'll be right back.
I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. It doesn't work? Tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexShowStore.com.
Front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
See, I'm going to put this image on screen and just zoom into it very, very slowly. Trump posted yesterday on Truth Social the classic image of Jesus in his triumphant robes, the white and the red, coming down to an injured soldier, and in one of his hands he has the flame of life and he's healing him. And you have other soldiers, female soldiers, looking up to him like he's God, and one of them is praying to him. And I noticed in one of the comments, oh, how dare you, that's not really what it is. You need to watch out. He's just a servant of God. No, this is a theme from the White House, from Hegseth, and from Trump's spiritual advisor, the Pentecostal lady, the evangelical dispensationalist, that he is Jesus. Okay? So here's my deal. I don't like the turn of events with Trump. The Democrats are the enemy. We're opposing them. We need Trump to be good, not bad. This is insane. And to see people defend this stuff, you had Tucker a week ago saying, could he be the Antichrist? I'm like, oh, come on. Well, definitely this is a, let's just say, not a Christian spirit that we see coming into this. Now, listen, I know some of the stuff they post on Truth Social is turned up. A lot of it's not Trump, okay? I'm not giving him an out. He needs to be clear and say there's only one king. That's King Jesus. He's the Lord and Savior. And explain, you know, we have a lot of fun on Truth Social. He showed himself the Pope and all that stuff. And I get Trump's jokes. You know, Trump came out today and said he may rename the Strait of Hormuz the Trump Strait. Okay? But then, again, we just, with all this background, we can't sit here and accept this. So people are really pissed. And I'll say this. Whoever's pushing this narrative, who's coming up with this messaging, knows this will turn people off to Trump. Okay? Because I don't think Trump came up with this theme, and I've seen at least 10 times last month that he's Jesus out of the White House. I mean, this is crazy. And I told you about the threat escalation letter. That Trump goes in, the Middle East don't fall, they close the strait, he tries to go free it with the blockade, that actually keeps it closed, and then inflation explodes and it kills the recovery plan, which the globalists want, which has now happened. That is the facts. No one can defend him. No one can defend whoever is saying he's Jesus. And that's what this is, so don't deny it. Don't try to gaslight. Trump needs to clarify this right now. And we need to get out of this war and de-escalate right now. They admit that it was Netanyahu calling in, killing the negotiation with Kushner, and killing the peace deal. This is insane.
So that, again, is the latest from Alex Jones responding to a post from Donald Trump on Truth Social in which he depicts himself as Jesus. Pretty obviously, not exactly a subtle post from Donald Trump. And again, Alex Jones is exactly right. We do need desperately to have a champion in the White House. We need Donald Trump to do what's necessary. There's still time. maybe there might still be time for Trump to pull this out of the fire and actually do something that could not only get us out of the Iran war, maybe achieve some of the promises that he made on the campaign trail, and potentially, maybe, you know, with a miracle or two in tow, we could potentially save the House and the Senate in 2026 from going over to the Democrats and just making everything Trump does a lame duck operation. But we'll see. But we shall see. We'll talk about that. We're going to get into everything that has to do with the Iran war today. But there is also a lot of political news to get into, including Eric Swalwell dropping out of the California governor race because of blackmail, essentially. Also, all of Europe is sort of in an uproar right now, with Ireland on the cusp of all-out civil war. Britain also facing, you know, massive protest over fuel restrictions as a consequence of the Iran war. And I'll say again, like I said yesterday, all of this makes perfect sense if you understand that the ultimate purpose of the war in Iran, it's manifold, but one of the primary ones is as a vector to get to World War III, to finish out the triumvirate, the trilogy that we've been living through. World War I, World War II, to get the UN, all of these sort of incrementally stepping towards globalism, and finally World War III, to bring the hammer down, slam the jail cell shut, and create the global prison planet Panopticon that we've been warning about forever. That is where it's going, and I've got videos to show you to prove that that's exactly it. But on the topic of Donald Trump and the insanity of Donald Trump, and that does increasingly seem to be what is on display here. Obviously, on Friday, it was Friday, right? Alex Jones was attacked along with Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, Megyn Kelly, Marjorie Taylor Greene by Donald Trump. And it's been a lot of pushback to that. It's flailing and flailing of a failing regime at this point. And we've been warning about this feedback loop for a while now, in which somebody in power like this starts making bad decisions, but everybody around him is afraid to say that they're bad decisions. Anybody who tries to tell him the truth is perceived as an enemy, and you enter into this feedback loop that only ends in disaster, in complete and total disaster, unless somebody can slap him with reality, give him a honest-to-God reality check, and get us back on track. But it's not just the posting memes of himself as Jesus. He's criticizing the Pope, posing himself as Jesus. Of course, on Easter, he's writing praise Allah and threatening to genocide an entire nation. Other people have noticed that this picture was originally posted by somebody else in February of this year, and yet the one Trump put has been altered. And if the crew can bring up that image, this is the one that Donald Trump posted to his Truth Social. And right in the middle, sort of above Trump's head, in the original image, it's just soldiers sort of in heaven with the sun behind them. But this one has some sort of bizarre editing that makes the soldier in the center look like he has wings, or maybe a crown, almost like the Statue of Liberty, which of course some say is a interpretation of a painting of Lucifer. So that is sort of inexplicable, sort of unexplained. I don't know if the crew can find the original one posted, but the original one just looks like a regular soldier. In this one, I don't know why, but he's got, you know, something strange has been manipulated through AI before being posted. Very strange. But this type of stuff, this type of posting, this type of content is not the only piece of evidence that we are being run by potentially a dangerously egotistical person. Let's go to clip number three here. This is Donald Trump on a Sunday show, sort of talking about some of the decisions he's made during the Iran war. And it's extremely troubling. I think you'll understand why. Yeah, there's the edit right there. So again, why would you edit it like this? What is that even supposed to be? People are showing that it looks like it's Lucifer. Again, it would be a bit overt to do something like this, but then again, maybe that's the point. I don't know. What I do know is that Donald Trump is making decisions that are genuinely insane. So let's go to clip number three here. This is Donald Trump explaining his rationale behind some of the attacks on Iran recently. Let's watch.
We have on this. And, you know, as Bibi Netanyahu said, we're the big brother and they're the small brother. And, you know, it's been a very effective team. What we've done in a matter of days, within 3-4 days, Iran essentially was wiped out. And it's so sad, though, when the press says they're fighting bravely. They're not fighting bravely. They have no anti-aircraft. We fly over there at will, can take out anything we want. As you know, last week I said we're going to strongly consider knocking out their power plants and the rest of their bridges. We took down their big bridge, but we just did that because we were having good discussions. And they go to the press. They're very good with public relations, much better with public relations than they are at fighting. They go to the press and they say, President Trump said it's okay for us to have a nuclear weapon, when I never even spoke to him. And by the way, that would be the only thing I would never say to them. And they know that.
Right.
And then the New York Times, which is a fake.
So that's Donald Trump saying a bunch of stuff that just none of it makes any sense, to be quite honest with you. He's talking about, yeah, we wiped out Iran in 3 days. Okay, how long? We need to count up here. What is it, 50 days, 45 days of war? We were done in the first 3 days. We've just been having fun the last 42. Okay, that doesn't make any sense. Talking about Iran, or talking about Israel and America like a big brother and a little brother. Like, not really. No, it's more like big brother and some dude that takes advantage of and hurts the brother. We are not brothers. What are you talking about? But all of that is minor to the real claim he just made, which was that they blew up Iran's quote unquote big bridge because he was embarrassed by the press. What are you talking about? He literally just said, yeah, we blew up their big bridge because, you know, they went on in the press and said that I told them they could have a nuclear weapon when I didn't. And so you blew up a bridge. Well, what are you talking about? What are we talking about here? The chaos, the deception, the mismanagement, the just utter and relentless failure that this entire Iran war represents. It's not even a matter of, are you on our side or are you on their side? It's like, if I agreed with absolutely every goal of the Iran war, I'd be pissed. And I'd be basically against the Iran war. Right? If I actually thought that Iran was this big, dangerous, you know, enemy that must be destroyed, it's like, then this was the worst way to do it. You're not doing it. If I thought we were in a civilizational conflict with Islam, that this was the great, you know, conflict between Christianity and Islam, the crusade, it's like, then you're doing it wrong. You're doing it very wrong. Again, we just have endless headlines to tell you that. So I just want to make that point that, like, people misconstrue this. I don't know what goes on in their mind, but they take somebody like me presenting a unbiased factual reading of how things stand right now and say, this is not going well. We are not winning. This was not a good idea. We are being screwed by Israel, and Iran is essentially got us in checkmate. And people have the idea that that makes me an Iran supporter, or that I somehow hate America. Again, I don't even understand what they're talking about. But just to clarify, I want America to do well, which is why I'm against the war in Iran. I don't want China to become our equal on the world stage as we become a multipolar world order. But that's exactly what's happening as a consequence of the Iran war. So stop letting people who do not have your best interests in mind trick you into thinking that this has anything to do with the benefit of America, the American people, Donald Trump. I mean, it's all designed almost exclusively to destroy America and destroy Western Europe. And I'll explain exactly why this is so dangerous here in just a second. Oil tops $100, safe haven dollar gains as U.S. moves to blockade Iran. Just wild. U.S. gas prices set to climb on Trump's naval blockade. Iran and the U.S. were inches away from a deal in Pakistan, Iraqchi reveals. as he says, what stalled the negotiations. Talk between Iran and the U.S. in Islamabad ended without a deal, despite being, quote-unquote, inches away. Disputes over nuclear limits and U.S. demands stalled progress, while Pakistan urged both sides to maintain the ceasefire and continue dialogue. Iran's Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi on Sunday said that Tehran had been inches away from a deal with Washington during weekend talks with the United States and Pakistan's Islamabad. He accused the U.S. of, quote, maximalist shifting goalposts and blockade. But when just inches away from an agreement in Islamabad, quote, we engaged maximalism, shifting goalposts, and blockade. Iran engaged the U.S. in good faith to end war, he said in a post on X. Araghchi also wrote that in intensive talks at highest level in 47 years, Iran engaged in with U.S. in good faith to end the war. But when just inches away, we encountered maximalism, shifting goalposts, and blockade. Zero lessons earned. Goodwill begets goodwill. Enmity begets enmity. Iran President Pezeshkian echoed similar statements and wrote on X, if the American government abandons its totalitarianism and respects the rights of the Iranian nation, ways to reach an agreement will certainly be found. I commend the members of the negotiating team, especially Dr. Kalibaf, says God give you strength. So apparently we are on the cusp. It seems like we constantly find ourselves on the cusp of an agreement with Iran, on the verge of peace, and we just pull away at the last second. And it seems to happen over and over again, and it seems to usually be at the behest of, or as a consequence of, engagement by Israel. Barak Ravid on X, who is known widely as the, you know, Israeli Mossad stenographer, says Netanyahu at cabinet meeting, quote, I spoke yesterday with Vice President J.D. Vance. He called me from his plane on the way back from Islamabad. He reported to me in detail, as this administration does every day, about the development of the negotiations. In this case, the explosion came from the American side, which could negotiate Iran's blatant violation of the agreement to enter the negotiations. The agreement was that they would cease fire and the Iranians would immediately open the gates. They did not do that. The Americans could not accept that. He also made clear to me that the main issue on the agenda for President Trump in the United States is the removal of all enriched material and ensuring that there is no more enrichment in the coming years, and that would be decades. So enrichment within Iran, that is their focus, and of course it is also important to us. So that actually confirms directly what Joe Kent said in his resignation letter about the shifting goalposts imposed by Israel. That, and go watch his interview with me where we detailed this extensively, that forever the agreement had been no nuclear weapons, and that goalpost had been shifted to where the Iranians were telling the Trump administration any enrichment at all means that they're going for a nuclear weapon, so we have to go for zero enrichment. That was a change in policy, a change in demand from the Trump administration that the Iranians never said they'd agree to. And doesn't really make a lot of sense. So actually, Joe Kent responded to this statement from, the quote from Benjamin Netanyahu, saying upcoming negotiations will fail if we don't restrain the Israelis and stop giving them access to our decision making. The Israelis push for zero uranium enrichment because they know it's a poison pill for Iran and will result in the war continuing. Iran has committed to not developing or obtaining nuclear weapons since 2003. A deal can be reached about uranium enrichment levels and monitoring, ending the war and opening the Strait of Hormuz. This can only happen if we treat the Israelis like the junior partner and put our interests first. So again, just sort of doubling down on the statement that he made during his resignation and in the subsequent interviews about the need for us to simply take our own side, ignore the demands or subjugate the demands of Israel to our demands. Pretty simple. But that apparently is not what happened. And again, the suspicion is, and the rumor is, that they were on the cusp when a phone call from Benjamin Netanyahu, he says, oh yeah, J.D. Vance gave me a call on the plane on the ride away. Oh, okay. Right. So you didn't call him maybe during the negotiations. We weren't maybe on the cusp of an agreement when you swept in either with blackmail or some sort of other pressure point to scuttle the ceasefire talks that America really wants, J.D. Vance really wants, the American people really want, Iran seems to want, but that Israel doesn't want. This was all coincidence, you're telling me? I don't believe you. I simply don't believe you. Because this keeps happening over and over and over and over and over again. And then you've got clip 15 here. This was the announcement of the failed ceasefire negotiation. And of course, many people are pointing out and noticing that old Jared Kushner, who is not a member of the American government, does not have an official role in the American government, has never been approved by the Senate as any other presidential appointee would, has never even really made it clear what his, you know, top priority is. I mean, he's taken no oath to uphold the, you know, interests of America over anything. He's literally just some dude that's family friends with Benjamin Netanyahu and has been since childhood, and is basically there representing the private Israeli interests, only doing so under the color of the American flag. At least that's the feeling that people get when they see him hardly able to contain a smirk, even though what he's announcing should be embarrassing and a failure and honestly a tragedy, because had these negotiations worked, we probably would have avoided whatever death and destruction comes as a result of the failure of the talk. So here's a guy who just failed to get peace, who just failed in his supposed mission on behalf of America, who just failed to find an off-ramp of what could very well become the deadliest war of all time in an earth-destroying World War III, and he seems unable to contain his glee. Let's watch. So again, people just noticing that while J.D. Vance looks, you know, appropriately dour, appropriately serious about this, Jared Kushner is slinking around in the background like an alien from Signs, grinning and smirking knowingly along with Steve Witkoff. And of course, remember, Steve Witkoff was being interviewed with Jared Kushner about Gaza and accidentally let it slip that the creation of the Board of Peace and the annexation essentially of Gaza into Israel was the fulfillment of, you know, over 2 years of planning. And that's when Jared Kushner kind of gives him the side eye and is like, not really. Don't say that, Steve. It's like, yeah, the war hasn't been going on for 2 years. What he revealed was that not only was the Gaza war the intended outcome of the false flag operation of October 7th, but that war with Iran and America having a Pyrrhic victory and basically being destroyed in our war against Iran, this was always the plan the entire time. And the plan was always to have this conflict become the wider, I mean, how long have we been talking about the World War III divisions? I mean, it's been obvious for a while, but everything the American deep state has been engaged in for the last decade has been driving America, NATO, and some of our, you know, controlled countries against Russia, China, and Iran. They've just been driving towards us with everything they've got, everything that we've seen from the Ukraine war to the overthrow of Assad in Syria to the insane genocidal activity in Gaza. It's all been in service of this ultimate clash of civilizations, which is intended to result in mass death, with the outcome eventually being a one-world government of totalitarian control that will exist forever. That's what they're pushing towards, and I'll show you videos on the other side where every Western military leader now is reflecting exactly the same talking points about how we are about to get into a big time conventional global war. They are making preparations. They do not care what you think about it. They are not asking permission. They are starting World War III. They are burning the world down. They do intend to rule over the ashes. We'll be right back.
I've been an oil field for as long as I've been an info warrior, 18 years. And Texan, born and raised, so I know, like, knives like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm, like, horrible with equipment. I'm, like, very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows there's a knife comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80 or sell for like $40. We'll be right back. Now, coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors, and that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself is InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and you're being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines. I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue. Blue.
I know. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town. I just can't shut up about it, up about it, up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue, 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 blue. I just can't shut up about it, up about it, up about it, up about it. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Sweet dreams are made of these. Who am I to disagree?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. Gab McGinnis will take over for me in the third hour of today's program. Jason Burmis will be hosting the War Room for me. And then we'll be showing an extended cut of Alex's appearance on the Sean Johnson podcast in the final hour of the War Room today. But we've got a lot to cover on the Alex Jones Show. We're going to continue with the Iran war, and then I'm going to get into sort of where it goes from here and the plans of the elite to throw all of Western Europe and America into a conventional global war against China and Russia and Iran, with the ultimate goal of finishing off a huge number of us, as well as getting everything else that they want. It's the Great Reset 2.0, and it's going to make the COVID lockdown look like a walk in the park. And of course, this weekend, one of the big topics of conversation was the attack on Alex Jones and others by Trump last week. And we've been over it a lot. I don't think I need to, you know, relitigate it once again. But I do want to go to a video of Nick Fuentes responding to it, because I think he has a good response to it. Clip number 17 here. This is Nick Fuentes defending Alex Jones from Donald Trump, and I think he's exactly right. Let's watch.
And we've all seen it. How many shows has Alex Jones gone to the mat for Trump? In spite of what he knew, in spite of his reservations, in spite of his concerns, how many shows and how much flack did he get? And I say this because I'm most aware of Alex Jones' body of work. How much has Alex defended Trump, fought for Trump, went to Stop the Steal, supported him in 2016, said it was imperative to support him in 2024, defended him from the witch hunt, from the Russia investigation. And by the way, even when it was hard, even when it was difficult, when he was destroyed by the left and lost everything, and Trump was no help, Trump did not give Alex Jones a pardon preemptively, when he could have after January 6th. Trump did not try to assist him in getting censored off of the internet in his first term, and Trump has done nothing in the second term to help Alex Jones in this ridiculous lawsuit and ongoing witch hunt in other matters from the DOJ and from the left. And this is how Alex is rewarded. Think of that. This is how he is rewarded. Trump doesn't help him. Trump doesn't do anything for him, and Alex has no influence. Instead, Trump is going to throw him under the bus literally the second that Alex expresses disagreement with Trump over a policy, which, by the way, Trump himself campaigned against. What does it tell you? This is the same thing that I have been saying from the beginning. From the beginning of this show, since the 2024 election, about Trump, and it is this: take your own side. Why are people loyal to Trump? Why would you be loyal to Trump? Do you not see who this person is? Trump is not a loyal person. He isn't, and never has been, ever. Hello? When will people wake up and realize this is not a loyal person? Trump is a treacherous person and always has been. Look at all of Trump's closest allies over the past 10 years. People like Jeff Sessions, people like Ann Coulter, people in the Trump organization. How many people have gotten involved with Trump? They were the first to endorse him, like Sessions, like Ann Coulter. How many people got sued, like Bannon, like Mike Flynn, like his campaign manager, whose name I forget right now? How many of these people got involved with Trump, lost everything, sacrificed everything on his behalf, were destroyed, only to be discarded, only to be backstabbed, thrown under the bus? It happens over and over again. And this is just what you come to expect with Trump. It's the scorpion and the frog. You can't take it personally. You can't hold it against him. It's in his nature. It's what he does. He stings these people. And you don't have to be mad about it, and you don't have to moralize about it, but you recognize this is a person in politics. He is not our friend. He is not the savior of Western civilization. He's not God. He's not your boss. He's not your dad. He's a politician.
He's not your dad. He's not your boss. He's a politician. That's really the way to think about it. Again, it's not personal, and it's not like we're about to become the left, right? And some people do that, right? Some people, you can tell that they've sort of wanted to turn on Trump for a while, but they've held back. And as soon as they turn on Trump, it's like they literally just become the left. They literally just go from like, yeah, Trump number one, to like, he's got small hands and he works for Russia. And it's like, we're not doing any of that crap. Really, if Trump turned things around, if he stopped just continually, relentlessly destroying everything he's ever been given, destroying his legacy, destroying the possibility that we pull America out of the fire before we're burned to ash. We want him to succeed. We need him to succeed. And we're not about to, you know, become the left and the crap they say about Donald Trump. No, this is a matter of policy, and it's important that we stake our claim and that we plant our flag and we say, no, this is what we believe. And if you're against that, you're against us. It doesn't matter who you are. One of these flags would be America needs to stop prioritizing Israel and needs to stop going to war in the Middle East. We need to focus on the home front and solving the existential problems that we have here in America that are only getting worse and seem to have accelerated under the second Trump administration. Does this sound like unreasoning, low IQ, you know, what a nut job stuff? No, this is, we made a deal, you broke the deal. This is, we had an understanding, you betrayed it. You shouldn't have. That's the answer if you're mad of all of us, you know, jumping off the Trump train. The Trump train's off the rails. There's no point in being on it anymore. And at this point, it seems to be working directly against us. It's tragic, but that's just the case. We could go into more on this, but I guess this one phrase sort of sums it all up. Low IQ, folks. We're just low IQ. We're just big dummies. We just don't understand. We just can't possibly conceive of the big brain takes about how going to war with Iran was actually super intelligent 5D chess. And we're totally going to take their oil and we're going to own China at the end of this. We're just too stupid to understand how that works. Just like we were too stupid to understand how the Strait of Hormuz was never going to be shut. See, we said the Strait of Hormuz would be shut as soon as we started an open conflict with Iran. That's just how low IQ we were. We were so dumb. We didn't trust the experts. We're so low IQ. We didn't understand how a virus came from a wet market down the street from a Level 4 bioweapons lab with a history of safety violations. That's our low IQ thinking going on here. So this is a new hat from thealexjonesstore.com. It's a simple message, comes across low IQ. It lets people who you deal with out there in the real world, maybe they need to take it easy on you. You know, you're one of these types of people that think that a guy that ran on making America great again and avoiding Middle East wars, then turning around and going to war in the Middle East is a bad thing. They just let you know that you're that dumb, you're that stupid, you're that low IQ, you just can't figure it out. And the reason I love this is not just because it's the insult that Donald Trump said that we are now co-opting and owning. It's also the only argument I've heard for the last month. This is it. And I've ranted about this over and over on the War Room, but it's perpetual and continuous and very annoying. So I'm sitting here making very obvious to me, reasonable arguments that are then proven out over and over again, like the Strait of Hormuz closing. And every time, instead of arguing back, instead of responding to the points I make, instead of illustrating to me where I may be missing the mark, I'm instead told that I'm retarded. I'm instead told that I'm just too stupid. I'm too low IQ to understand the sophisticated operation at play here. But I'm not. See, this is the thing. It's like how Donald Trump in his insult post says that the First Lady of France is more beautiful than Candace Owens. It's like, all right. You could have said a lot of stuff. You could have said a lot of things. You could have really tried to phrase that in a way that made sense. But no, you just said that Candace Owens is less attractive than Brigitte Macron, which means you're lying. Which means you're full of crap and cannot be trusted about whatever you're saying. So it's that type of thing. It's like, you can call me low IQ all you want. Do you think LeBron James gets mad if you say he's bad at basketball? You know? And this really is how it feels. And I again, don't know how to express this to people that use this insult. But like, imagine, if you were to go out and write a post saying that the sky is blue. Or what, water is wet, you know, whatever. The sky is blue. And then you had a bunch of people in your comments going, you idiot. I can't believe you think the sky is blue, you moron. Are you going to start questioning yourself? Are you going to go, wait, am I stupid? I mean, these guys, they're so, I don't know. I thought the sky was blue, but now they're telling me I'm done for blue. No, you would just be like, what? You would just be like, oh no, but the sky's, what are you talking about? It doesn't even make sense to to call me stupid for this. It's just abundantly true. What are you talking about? That's how it feels. It's literally how it feels to just say the truth and have a bunch of people call you dumb. So we'll wear it with honor. We will wear it with a badge of honor. We're just too stupid to understand. We're too low IQ to understand the brilliant move that going to war with Iran was and that staying to war in war with Iran is. So you can get that new hat at thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on the air and in the fight. It is the only way that we get any support at all. Let's go down to clip number 5 here. This is Benjamin Netanyahu himself actually saying the thing about being kept up to date, receiving updates continually from the Trump administration, like he is the one in charge. It's absolutely infuriating and sort of a slap in the face of anybody who actually believes in American sovereignty. Here's Benjamin Netanyahu.
I spoke yesterday with Vice President J.D. Vance. He called me from his plane on the way back from Washington. He reported to me in detail, as the people of this administration do every day, on the development of the negotiations. In this case, the explosion in the negotiations, the explosion came from the American side, which was not willing to tolerate the blatant violation of the agreement to enter negotiations by Iran. Essentially, the agreement was that there would be a ceasefire and Iran would immediately open the crossings. They didn't do that. The Americans were not willing to accept it. He also conveyed to me that the central issue on the table from the perspective of President Trump and the United States is the removal of all enriched material and ensuring that there is no more enrichment in the coming years, and this could be for decades.
So again, that's just total confirmation of what Joe Kent said about the way that Israel was leaning on the Trump administration to move the goalposts, move the ultimate ask that they were demanding of Iran, with the intention of prolonging this war, because they need to prolong the war. Their survival depends on them taking out Iran right now. They do not have 5 years to come back in 5 years to try again. They're losing their support in America. They need to do it right now. They are not going to give up, and they will go to any lengths to achieve this. We are in very, very high alert, false flag territory as we speak. Now, apparently Donald Trump is doing a press conference and answering some questions about Iran and other things. Let's go ahead and go to that live. This is happening in D.C., I understand.
Thoughts, plans with Iran, and if so, will you send Vice President J.D. Vance
with? Well, he's done a good job. It's Steve and Jared, they've all done a very good job. And I can tell you that we've been called by the other side. They'd like to make a deal very badly, very badly.
Over. You said it was over nuclear.
It was over nuclear. Very similar. Yeah, very good. I guess you're listening. It's over the fact that they will never have a nuclear weapon. Iran, you marking it down? Iran will not have a nuclear weapon. And we agreed to a lot of things, but they didn't agree to that. And I think they will agree to it. I'm almost sure of it. I am sure of it. If they don't agree, there's no deal. There'll never be a deal. Iran will not have a nuclear weapon, and we're going to get the dust back. We'll get it back either. We'll get it back from them, or we'll take it.
Mr. President, as far as the naval blockade is concerned, what's the end game? Is it to force Iran back to the negotiating table? Is it to open up the strait so the gas prices ultimately come down?
Maybe everything. I mean, both of those things, certainly, and more. We can't let a country blackmail or extort the world, because that's what they're doing. They're really blackmailing the world. We're not going to let that happen. And, you know, the amazing thing is can you believe this? We don't use the strait. We don't need the strait. We have our own oil and gas, much more than we need. We have more oil and gas than Saudi Arabia. Think of this. We produce more Saudi Arabia and add Russia to it. Substantially more. And by next year, we'll have double that amount. So we don't need it, but the world needs it. And many ships are heading to our country right now as we speak to load up with the best. Really, I guess you could say, somebody said the best and sweetest. I don't know exactly what sweet is, but when it relates to oil, it's a good thing. But they're coming to our country right now. There are many boats coming to our country. Now, it could very well be this is going to be settled before then. We've been called this morning by the right people, the appropriate people, and they want to work a deal. They would like to work a deal.
Is it your anticipation, Mr. President, that other countries will assist in this effort to block the Iran and those?
Yeah, other countries are going to also.
Which countries, sir?
We don't need other countries, frankly, but they've offered the services. We'll let it be known probably tomorrow.
Has the blockade started, sir?
Yeah, started. 10 o'clock.
Bishop Robert Barron. Blockade by Robert Barron supports you and your policies. He praises you for defending religious freedom.
Yeah.
He now says you owe Pope Leo an apology. Will you apologize?
No, I don't, because Pope Leo said things that are wrong. He was very much against what I'm doing with regard to Iran, and you cannot have a nuclear Iran. Pope Leo would not be happy with the end result. You have hundreds of millions of people dead, and it's not going to happen. So I can't. I think he's very weak on crime and other things. So I'm not. I mean, he went public. I'm just responding to Pope Leo. And you know, his brother is a big MAGA person, and he's a great guy, Lewis. And I said I like Lewis better than I like the Pope. Now, you have to have law and order in our country, and that's what we have now. We have the lowest crime numbers we've had in a long time, despite the fact that many criminals were allowed into our country. But we've gotten a lot of them out. We've done a great job on crime. So we have the lowest murder rate in 125 years since 1900, the lowest murder rate. So we believe strongly in law and order, and he seemed to have a problem with that, so there's nothing to apologize for. He's wrong. The other thing is he didn't like what we're doing with respect to Iran, but Iran is wants to be a nuclear nation so they can exterminate the world. Not going to happen.
Does your threat from before still stand?
Yeah, I don't want to comment on that, but it won't be pleasant for them. Let me put it that way.
Do you still plan to turn your straight
Has your timetable changed in any way in terms of ending this conflict?
No, it's going on. Right now, there's no fighting. Right now, we have a blockade. They're doing no business. I didn't like seeing boats come out if they were doing business with Iran, but if they weren't, no boats came out. So now Iran is doing absolutely no business, and we're going to keep it that way very easily. Don't forget, their Navy is gone, their Air Force is gone, their anti-aircraft is gone, their radar is gone, and their leaders are gone.
Do you still want to charge them?
No, but we have a very good relationship with China. He would like to see this ended off. He certainly wants it ended. Everyone, I want to see it ended too. But we can't give a nuclear weapon to a group of people that have caused nothing but havoc for 47 years. Look, I'm the president that's done something about it. This should have been. And many other presidents regret that they didn't. Yeah, so I'm doing something.
The Ukraine impeachment documents that were just declassified show that Eric Charanella not only submitted false information, but that he had no direct knowledge of the alleged conversations with all of your statements. Do you feel vindicated by those?
Yeah, I do. They're a bunch of crooked people. You're talking about with respect to all of the things that they put against me?
Yeah.
Well, it's come out that in so many different ways. Thank you very much for that question. I appreciate it. But in so many different ways, the election was rigged. The 2020 election was rigged. We found that out. What you just said is just a piece of that. It's a big piece, but minor, relatively speaking, compared to what
they did. Trump has no idea what's going on. That's not at all what she was talking about. She's talking about the revelation from John Solomon and releases from Tulsi Gabbard about Eric Charanella, the whistleblower from the Trump's impeachment over the Ukraine phone call. Nothing to do with 2020. This happened in 2018, 2019. He apparently has no idea about this. Again, this is the danger. And this is the impression I get when I'm watching Trump. First of all, the man looks tired. The man looks gray in a way that he never has before. He's showing the office in a way that he never has before. Of course, it was always surprising because every president gets into office and immediately ages 10 years. Classic images of Obama, you know, 3 years apart. He goes from looking like a bright young man to a weathered old man. Donald Trump never showed that, but he's starting to. It seems like something about the last couple of months seems to be weighing on him. And the stresses seem to be getting to him. But clearly he is not being kept up to date on things. He thinks this was about the stolen election in 2020. That's not what she's talking about. She's talking about the impeachment with Adam Schiff and others. Now, maybe he just hasn't been briefed on that yet, but I think it goes to show that he's disconnected, that he's not actually keeping his finger on the pulse and doesn't actually get what's going on around the country. And the statements that he makes about Iran there, I think he believes them. And I think if you really listen to what he just said and take it for granted that he was telling the truth as far as he sees it, it kind of makes sense. It makes sense. If he genuinely thinks that he is preventing Iran from getting a nuclear weapon and quote unquote destroying the world with it, like, where is he getting this from? It's just completely insane for him to believe this stuff. But if he actually believes it, it kind of makes sense. It's kind of making things make sense. That if he's sitting there going, I'm doing something that is saving tens of millions of people's lives, and these people just don't get it. They want me to be worried about, you know, a couple of dead U.S. soldiers. I'm saving tens of millions of people right now. Now, if he really believes that, it at least goes some way to understand his mindset and make sense of his actions. But that's a lie. But he's believing lies. That really is the only question at this point, is he knowingly lying or is he being lied to? And it seems like with all of the evidence that we've gotten over and over again, he is being lied to. Why he would believe these lies, God only knows. He believed the lies that Benjamin Netanyahu told him about how quick and easy this attack would be. It's actually kind of funny. They ask him, has your timetable changed? It's like, and he's like, no, not really. It kind of has. It kind of has if you think about it. I mean, the timetable was originally a couple days. Then they said, actually, this will take 4 weeks. Now we're in the sixth week. So the timetable has changed, Trump. And of course, last week he gave a primetime address where he claimed, like he did right there, that Iran's anti-aircraft capability has been totally destroyed. They've got no radar, no missiles, no nothing. And then they shot down an A-10 Warthog and an F-35. And we had to mount an emergency rescue mission that I don't even think actually happened in the way that they said it did. So how can we believe that? Again, when you say something and then it is just proven to be untrue, and then you keep saying that thing, and you're just lying. So, like, why? Why are you lying so blatantly? And I get, you know, I guess I get, you know, if he thinks he's saving tens of millions of people's lives, but it's like you're not. You're not, Trump. No, you're driving us towards the conflict that will end in hundreds of millions of people dying because the insane people trying to take over the world are called Israel, and they're playing you like a damn violin, like a fiddle. You are now the fiddle on Benjamin Netanyahu's knee. We'll be right back, folks.
I've been in the oil field for as long as I've been an info warrior, 18 years. And Texan, born and raised, so I know, like, knives like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm, like, horrible with equipment. I'm, like, very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows there's a knife, comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the Ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80 or sell for like $40. We'll be right back. I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling 3 emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and 2 others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com. And I salute you for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Today, the United States held peace negotiations with Iran. But then just an hour ago, President Trump posted, if Iran doesn't agree to peace, the greatest military of all time, ours, will F Iran right up their Strait of Hormuz. Assalamu alaikum, you crazy bastards. Now, I completely made that up. But isn't it kind of disturbing that you all totally believe that he had posted that? President Trump did genuinely issue a post threatening to destroy Iran's entire civilization and then ended with the phrase, praise be to Allah. And I know that almost makes Trump sound like he is a radical terrorist, but remember, Trump has already been to a paradise with 72 virgins.
There is growing confusion over whether Israel being allowed to continue bombing Lebanon was part of the ceasefire with Iran. Ultimately, that decision comes down to the man controlling our military, Benjamin Netanyahu. Earlier tonight, J.D. Vance announced that the U.S. and Iran have ended negotiations without a deal after talking for 21 hours straight. And guys, I think they're done for real, based on how his mascara's running.
Before the talks fell apart, President Trump warned Iran about making any more demands, saying the Iranians don't seem to realize they have no cards. They're literally holding a straight. J.D. Vance was asked about Iran's right to enrich uranium, and he made kind of a weird analogy. Watch.
My wife has the right to skydive, but she doesn't jump out of an airplane because she and I have an agreement that she's not going to do that because I don't want my wife jumping out of an airplane.
What the hell are you talking about? The only thing that makes sense in that entire analogy is that we can all understand J.D. Vance's wife having the urge to jump.
First Lady Melania Trump made a rare public statement to deny reports that Jeffrey Epstein introduced her to Donald Trump because they actually met when Trump cracked open her shipping container. On Friday, the Artemis II astronauts returned safely from their 10-day trip around the Hollywood soundstage.
During the mission, the crew of Artemis II sent back pictures of the rarely seen dark side of the moon, revealing that the moon has a rat tail.
He wanted more out of that. The Justice Department has formed a task force intended to eradicate anti-Christian bias, which hopefully works better than the church's strategy of molesting it out of you.
California police have arrested a man who allegedly threw a Molotov cocktail at the home of ChatGPT founder Sam Altman after ChatGPT told him, that's a great idea.
Yesterday, Kamala Harris said she is thinking about running for president again. And I like her chances as long as she finally grows that penis. I tried to keep a straight face as long as I could. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. announced that he is launching a new podcast. The podcast is called
All right, so we're not totally coming together on this stuff.
But they did hit the nail on the head on a few of those, Benjamin Netanyahu running Americans, the American military. And look, Donald Trump's gone off the rails a little bit. Just cut out the cheap shots about the wives, and, you know, we could be on the same side here. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be amazing if all of America could watch Saturday Night Live and all laugh at ourselves together? Wouldn't that be something? That's what it was like when I was growing up. I remember it. It was wonderful. We're going to be joined by Mark Lynch on the other side.
What's this? Oh, I've got Power Plant. Oh, what's this? I've got Methyl Drive. The two ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them. Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly, with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high-quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
You're watching the Alex Jones Show. Tomorrow's news today. When you wake up
in the morning, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. Infowars.com, band.video is how you can find us and share those links. Make sure you're following us on X at Real Alex Jones, at Infowars, at AJN Live. Definitely follow that one so you can be up to date on the changes that we're going through. And, of course, you can follow me at Harrison H. Smith. I'm very happy to be joined by my guest, Mark Lynch. He is a South Carolina businessman, conservative Republican, and candidate for the U.S. Senate, challenging incumbent Senator Lindsey Graham in the 2026 GOP primary. Of course, his biography here is very long and impressive. We'll just say that you're an avid marksman and guitarist for the band Concealed Damage. You've been married to your wife, Sarah, for 37 years, a father of two and grandfather of four. He resides in Duncan, South Carolina, deeply rooted in his community and is actively participating in local religious and charitable initiatives, but is hoping to take that next step and actually represent South Carolina in the Senate rather than do what Lindsey Graham does, which seems to be represent himself and his own self-aggrandizement. You can follow Mark Lynch on X at Mark Lynch SC, and lynchforsenate.com is the website you can go to. Mr. Lynch, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Great to be on the show.
Well, it's great to have you. And of course, you, like us, have recently been on the receiving end of Donald Trump's ire. I guess let's start with that. He put out a Truth Social post last week endorsing Lindsey Graham, to the frustration of all of us who thought MAGA represented something different than the neocon establishment we've been used to. Just what's going on here, man? How is he still supporting Lindsey Graham? How does Lindsey Graham have so much influence around Donald Trump?
Yeah, you know, it started last year, and we hoped that he wouldn't endorse. We hoped he would endorse me. I'm a MAGA candidate. I'm America first, truly. And everybody's asked that question all year, scratching their heads. How can Trump do this? So, you know, we wrote it off saying, well, it's a lean Senate majority. He needed Lindsey's votes. And when Paul Danz withdrew from the race Friday and endorsed me, Trump attacked him and Truth Social. And I'm sure it's his staff. We believe it's Chris LaCivita. This saying these things, you know, because we made a post one time that supported Massey and Marjorie Taylor Greene and said it'd be great if all of the congressmen, congresswomen, you know, had constitutional voting. And these guys all hold up to their oath, and we get attacked for it. You know, I'm America first. And as the U.S. Senator, I'll honor my oath to defend the Constitution. It's that simple. So, you know, it's bringing Trump's polling down, and I hope he'll see that and make a switch, because Lady G, let's call him what it is. Lady G is a traitorous fruitcake. He's been down at Disney waving around a bubble wand while we're dealing with war and trying to pass the SAVE Act, and he's avoiding his duties. And, And it's just amazing. We need to get rid of these traitors and bring true patriots into Congress.
You know, I have to laugh when you call it, when you call him Lady G, and just the image of him wandering around Disney alone with a bubble wand. It's very funny, but at the same time, it's not that funny. I mean, this is very serious stuff, and he's going on, you know, TV and saying that he's going to go back to South Carolina and tell their kids to go, you know, fight for Israel or whatever he's saying. I mean, this is serious stuff. We're talking about a guy who has actively pushed America into a disastrous and so far unending war. I mean, it's not really, I mean, how do you deal with this? Cause it's so goofy. It's so funny and absurd. At the same time, like this is a real dangerous man walking around. I mean, the ideas he pushes are destroying people's lives. Can you talk to that a little bit?
Yeah, it's very dangerous. He's not supporting America. He's supporting everything to get a World War III started, and he's been AWOL from South Carolina and from America, and he's the head of the budget committee, and we're $39 trillion in debt. He's doing a great job, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he's writing more blank checks and just putting us further into more inflationary areas and creating money out of thin air that we don't have, and setting up a generation for years to come that's going to be bankrupt in the country like we are now. It's got to stop. It's ridiculous. And, you know, if I'm in the U.S. Senate, I'll form a committee to bring a motion to vacate John Thune and these people that are holding up the SAVE Act. Lindsey's not doing anything for that. He's posturing. He's saying he's for the SAVE Act, but he's okay with it being threatened by a filibuster requiring 60 votes. And it's holding up Congress, and we're not getting anything done. And it's all just a game. It's just theater.
That's certainly what it seems like. And this is the frustration, because as much as we could be sort of disappointed in Trump not fulfilling a lot of his campaign promises, it's really on the laps of the Republicans. I mean, the Republicans in the Senate and the Congress have utterly failed this administration to codify anything Trump has wanted, to pass the SAVE Act, to do anything about the, you know, deportations and legal aliens. I mean, what is the Republican Party doing right now? Why are they not taking this threat more seriously? I mean, the numbers are catastrophic, and it's happening rapidly. Interactive polls from CBS News shows that between February of this year and April of this year, that's 2 months, was a 14-point swing. It's a net 40-point negative swing over the year for white non-college workers. This is the Trump base. How has this happened, and how is the Republican Party so blind to the danger that they're in? I mean, the Republican Party's not going to exist in a couple of years if they keep going down this road. How do we get the Republican Party back into shape?
Well, I'm not sure they are Republicans.
Sure.
Everything they do is against America First and against the president. And I know he sees that. We've got to get the right people in and get rid of these people that are lying to us and playing games with our country, because it's getting people killed. It's increasing the debt in America to a point of no return. And it's not a laughing matter anymore. It's very serious to me, and that's why I'm running. You know, Lindsey Graham, his voting record lifetime on conservative review is 43%.
Wow.
You know, our forefathers, when they wrote the Declaration of Independence, they realized we were endowed by God, our creator, with unalienable rights that we have to protect. And the first one's the right to life. And Lindsey's for murdering babies in the womb up to 15 weeks. That's not pro-life. He says he is, but he's not. That's his record. So, we've got to point out the truth of what's really going on. Lindsey cannot be America First. I hold an article here that Breitbart News Organization put out where terrorist groups are funded by Lindsey Graham's backed USAID closing the Strait of Hormuz. Millions of dollars have gone to fund Hamas and Al-Qaeda through Lindsey Graham. And that's not America First. That's a traitor. And I want people to hear that. In the budget, fourth quarter of 25 and first quarter of 26, he voted again to pass a bill to fund $5.7 billion to illegal aliens in this country. We're dealing with the Dignity Act, it's called.
Yep.
Democrats flood the nation with illegal aliens, but the Republicans are the ones that are letting us down, like you were saying. they're just going to pass a bill, if the senator in Florida gets this passed, called the Dignity Act, because that sounds good, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And we're just going to get rid of that, wipe it off our desk, and grant amnesty to now up to 40 million. We had 22 million years ago in the country. Estimates are around 40 million of illegal aliens in this country. And our people can't get jobs. We need to bring manufacturing back to the U.S. We need to get rid of the H-1B visas and op visas that are allowing the hiring of foreign students away from our kids who were born in this country. It's just a joke, and the Republican Party's to blame because they're not doing their job.
Oh, no, they're doing the Democrats' job, as you point out. I mean, here we are trying to fight for our country's existence against this ravenous mob of leftists, and the Republicans are up there doing their job for them, actually trying to pass amnesty. The Dignity Act, or I think the official designation is Dignitad, because, of course, it's in the Spanish language, just, you know, as an extra obvious slap in the face to the American people. I mean, it's outrageous that it's the Republicans doing this. So it's the Republican Party, right? It's this mechanism. It's the establishment. They have ways of keeping people like Lindsey Graham in office despite just everything he does being awful for America. How do they do this? How is the Republican Party, and why is the Republican Party keeping real America First candidates out of office? And hopefully they fail with you, but they've succeeded in other cases. How and why is the Republican establishment and the Republican Party so damaging to our own interests?
Yeah. Well, we the people are fighting, and we're sick of it. We're tired. Enough's enough. And, you know, I signed the United States Term Limits Pledge. I hate I have to do that. When America was founded, our forefathers went and served a term or two and came back home to be the husband and father of their children and raise their family and work on the farm again. And they did that because there wasn't all this corruption, and they couldn't make millions of dollars back then like they can today. This has become a career. So we've got to have a term limits to get people like Lady G out and allow good patriots, God-fearing patriot, America First candidates to come in that'll actually work for America the full 6 years of a term, not just the last 6 months during campaign season again and fool everybody. So we have to expose it, and we the people are fighting. We're all tired of it. We've gone through four more years of pain with Biden, and now we're seeing what's really happening in Congress, in the House and the Senate. We can't get anything done. So these guys have got to be removed, and that's what I'll do, is get rid of Lady G. That's first, and then we'll bring up more motions to vacate the people that are doing treasonous things in our Congress.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you just think about the number of things that the Senate and Congress haven't done this go around or didn't do under Trump's first administration. They haven't started, you know, getting rid of these judges that are making the nationwide injunctions or, you know, letting illegal or alien criminals go over and over again. They're just failing to uphold their end of the bargain. And it seems like they just want to weather the whole MAGA storm. They're just desperate to get back to sort of the Obama years where they get to be sort of an impotent, you know, party of speakers that don't actually achieve anything. I mean, that was really where they were comfortable, right? It seems like actually wielding power for the benefit of America or Americans is scary to them. They're too scared to actually do anything. They'd much rather just be a sort of impotent opposition party. It's totally pathetic, and we got to shake them out of that mindset. And they're going to lose it one way or the other. The headlines today, Republicans may lose control of their biggest stronghold. Texas, of course, may be going blue this go around, as it's been deemed a toss up now in the Senate race. As Iran war drags on, midterms forecasts for Republicans get even worse. So is this on purpose? I mean, are the Republicans trying to lose? Are they happy to just be the impotent losers? And how do we shake that out of them?
It sure appears that way. And so that's, these guys know the truth. And if they're doing this stuff on purpose, then I call traitor on them too.
Yeah.
We're trying to control America when we have terrorists in our country. You know, everybody's woke up to that. Lindsey's around, started World War III, and he left America behind. And everybody's concerned now, asking about the terrorist cells and all of the Islamic terrorists getting into Congress. And we've got to enforce our laws here, And we've got to ban Sharia law in this country and make sure our country works under the United States Constitution, the supreme law of the land. And we've got to operate that way and honor our oaths in office and defend the Constitution and defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and have people that will do that, or they need to be removed. They've got to be arrested. And we've got to get back to the rule of law in this country and start arresting people and deporting all the enemies of this country that are in our borders inside America illegally that we've allowed to come in. It's real simple. We just need to do it. We need people that'll do that. And that's what I'll do when I get into the Senate.
It's sad how true that is, that it's like, it's not hard, it's not complicated. We just have to do it. Just enforce the law and like 90% of our problems would actually be solved. And sort of the frustration is that, you know, on one side you've got communists and socialists and they've got all these ideas where you got something new and exciting and you got to come with us and we'll go do it. Of course, it's all a lie. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's all, you know, total suicide pact with them. But we're just like, we just got to get back to basics. How do we make that argument compelling? Because it's true. It's the right argument. Just enforce the law, stick to the Constitution. We've gone off the rails by ignoring that stuff. How do we make that argument and make it exciting to young people or you know, people that are fed up with the Republicans? How do we make that case? Because it really is that simple. It really is that straightforward. Enforce the law, get back on track. How do we make that case to young people especially?
Yeah. Well, they're getting educated. They've seen the pain in America. They're concerned about their future. They're ready to fight. Young people are speaking everywhere we present and they get it. They understand. They're worried about their future and they need to be. It's very concerning. America's in trouble, everybody. We're at the last line of defense. And if we don't get up and fight, if we don't donate, if we don't pray, if we don't speak up, if we don't show up to Congress and show up to our local county offices and our state offices and get people to do their job and make them feel the pain, they'll continue to do what they always did. If nobody cares, we got to fight. Our theme for our campaign for Lynch for Senate is fight for America. We've got to fight to keep what we have or we're going to lose it this generation. So it's at the final line. And we've got to get these traitors out and get good people in that will stand up and say no and mean it and expose it and stand for the truth and fight for America and quit selling us down the road, kicking the can. And people that go into Congress need to be there that really are America first, not America last. And we got to get rid of the people that are all about themselves, like Lindsey Graham. He's just there to make a career out of this and fund his pockets.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you can just see the way that America is absolutely going down, record low fertility rates, the economy, of course, sort of teetering on the brink, gas prices exploding as a consequence, at least one of the consequences of the Iran war. And you're right, young people are furious and they are ready to fight. And meanwhile, the GOP sees these people that are suffering, young people that are looking ahead going, I'm never going to own a house. I'll never be able to afford a family. This is messed up. We need to do something. And yet the Republican Party comes along and says, yeah, shut up. I saw something yesterday where there's a Republican in Florida saying we're going to no longer have taxes on boat purchases or something. And it's like, you've got a bunch of young people who can't even afford a house. Why are you basically selling cheaper boats to boomers? It's just such brain dead messaging. It's astonishing that they either think this is going to work or just, you know, working against it. So again, young people who are fired up and are desperately looking for somebody to lead and for somebody to help get America back on the right track. What would you say to them as to why you're the choice that can bring that about?
Well, I'm a successful businessman. I can show you the fruit in my life. I've grown a business 35 times in my 40 years with God at the center. It's all about Him. We're a God-first campaign. If we can bring God back first in America, making America great again will be a natural consequence, benefit of that. And so we've got to get back. That's the way our framers and founders of this great country America in its 250th birthday this year, founded this country was with godly values. Our Constitution and the running of this country only works with a moralistic society. And we're far from God, and we got to get back to that, and He'll bring it back for us. So we're fighting on those principles. We have to get God back in schools, back in government, and in God we trust means something. But we got to live that out, everybody. And it talks, our Constitution talks about that again with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, I'll bring a great birthday present for our 250th anniversary, removing an enemy of the country, posing as a Republican. He's a fake and, an imposter, and we've got to get him out. And I plan to do that. That'll be one of the biggest Doge events for the budget, to get rid of Lindsey Graham, because trillions of dollars of abuse, waste, and fraud will come to an end. We'll do what's first and right for America, not everybody else. America. You know, I love Israel, but I don't work for them. I work for America. And we have to do what's right for America first. People are tired of funding every other country, funding illegal aliens in this country when we can't take care of our own. It's all exposed. Everybody's tired of it. So help me get there. Go to our website at lynch4senate.com, spelled out lynch4senate.com. We have a new website too, a microsite called dumplindsey.co. dumplindsey.co. If you want to see all of Lindsey's horrible stuff he's done, it's found right there. Pray for this campaign. Donate if you can. Every dollar helps. You can go to lynchforsenate.com to the contribute tab and make your donation there. And I want to say, for the people that are skeptical, we have our polling out by Rasmussen that just came out 3 weeks ago. Lindsey dropped to 41%. And with an informed ballot, I go ahead of him to 34%, and he falls to 23%. So it's happening. Wow. That's right. This is a legitimate poll with over 1,000 completes, and the people are speaking, and everything's surging, and the momentum's increasing, and we're going to win the primary and go to the general in November. But our primary is June 9th. We got to vote for that. Remember that, South Carolina. Get out and vote in the primary June 9th for Mark Lynch for United States Senate to represent you, so that we have equal representation for South Carolinians in D.C.
This would be a massive victory for the America First movement to get Lindsey Graham out. And, hey, it makes sense. That's obviously why Trump felt like attacking you last time. You don't attack somebody who's not a threat. You are very clearly a threat. Those polling numbers are absolutely amazing. So you're actually beating Lindsey Graham on an informed ballot, according to Rasmussen. That's huge. We should have led off with that, because everybody, you know, everybody wants to treat, Lindsey Graham as inevitable, and, oh, all these people coming up, they've got no chance. That's more than a chance. That's huge. So in an informed ballot, you actually outpoll Lindsey Graham in South Carolina?
That's exactly right. It's happening. This is the year, and he's gonna be gone. Lindsey, clean my office out.
You know, what's he gonna do? I mean, you at least have a successful business to go back to after you serve in the Senate. But Lindsey Graham, he's gonna be wandering around Disneyland or Disney World for his entire retirement. It's sad, but I'm sure he'll find something.
Yeah, he's not welcome in South Carolina. That's for sure.
Well, maybe we'll have a villa in Israel he can go visit. Well, it's very exciting stuff, and I'm telling you, if there's one person we need to replace in Washington, D.C., it is Lady G, Lindsey Graham, and Mark Lynch is the man to do it. Lynch4Senate.com, spell it all out, Lynch4Senate, LynchforSenate.com. At Mark Lynch SC on X, dumplindsey.co. Dumplindsey.co is the mini site where you can learn all about Lindsey Graham. Thanks so much for joining us today, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for what y'all are doing on InfoWars.
I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene before. I want you to take our medical grade, starting medicine kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. It doesn't work? Tell me. Here it is, brother.
He's years.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. It doesn't work? Tell me. Here it is, brother.
He's Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at TheAlexJonesStore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at TheAlexJonesStore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. TheAlexJonesStore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom. I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it and how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
All right, welcome back, folks. Welcome back. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I'll be with you for the rest of this segment. I got a lot of videos to go to. We'll get to those here. And then Gab McGinnis will be taking over for me, hosting the rest of The Alex Jones Show. And then Jason Burmis will be handling the war room. So you know it's going to be an information-packed episode today. He's always awesome and brings up stuff that nobody else talks about. We talk about, you know, sort of the most popular stuff quite a bit. We try to bring you stuff that you aren't hearing anywhere else as well. But it's, you know, it takes a certain skill set to do what Jason Burmis does. So stay tuned for him in the war room. Apparently in this press conference, which was a little odd. Again, Trump is making excuses for the war in Iran and saying that we already won, et cetera, et cetera. He's also there, I guess, with a DoorDash driver to promote no tax on tips, which was kind of neat. He's like asking the DoorDash driver her opinion on things. She's like, I don't, it's fine. He's like, what do you think about, you know, men and women's sports? And she's like, I'm here to deliver the McDonald's, sir. Please don't ask me to get involved in a hot button political firestorm. Very fun. It's very, very funny stuff. But he was asked, he responded to a question about his post on Truth Social where he is depicting himself as Jesus. A little odd. A little bit of a strange way to present yourself when you have faithful Christians as your base. But apparently he responded. He said it was a miscommunication, just one big accident. Let's see what Donald Trump has to say about his rather blasphemous post this morning. Let's watch.
Did you post that picture of yourself depicted as Jesus Christ?
Well, it wasn't depicted. It was me. I did post it, and I thought it was me as a doctor and had to do with Red Cross as a Red Cross worker there, which we support. And only the fake news could come up with that one. So I just heard about it. And I said, how did they come up with that? It's supposed to be me as a doctor making people better. And I do make people better. I make people a lot better. As an example, the 11,000, I understand your husband's going through treatment.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He's going through some very serious cancer treatment. So
yes, sir.
This goes a long way.
Yes, sir. It sure does.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. Debatably might be worse. That might be. Does he really think that's a doctor? Let's blow up the picture full screen. Does this look like a doctor to anybody? Have you ever been to a doctor like this? Maybe Trump goes to a different doctor than I go to. I've never been to a doctor that treats me with light that he holds in his hand. That is a different kind of doctor, I guess. He's like, I'm a doctor. You know, when you go to the doctor and they put the healing light of God on your forehead, remember, you know, when you go to the doctor and they're holding the disembodied pure light of God in their hands, you know, the doctor. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know. I've never been to a doctor like that personally. And he's like, I don't know. Only the fake news could come up with this. No, literally everybody knows what this image is. What are you talking about? I don't know. It's a fine excuse, I guess. He's like, oh, look, I'm a doctor. I'm a doctor healing the sick. Okay. If you say so. I don't believe him. I don't believe him, actually. But okay. That's fine. So anyway, we'll keep, like, this is the thing. It's like, you hear the guy talk. I mean, we went through 4 years of Joe Biden. The man was incapable of saying a three-syllable word. It was horrifying, to be honest with you. Every day we would have a new clip of Joe Biden literally getting lost on a 10-foot walk. Y'all remember those videos? Like, the Secret Service have to, like, pop out of the bushes and be like, the back door's that way. And he's like, wandering out. I mean, it was crazy. So it's like, it's obviously not there. We're obviously not at the point where Donald Trump, his brain is broken, right? It's not, obviously. You see him talk, he makes sense, he's thoughtful, he's smart, like, but that's the crazy thing, is then he does stuff like this, and it's like, there's an incongruity here. He seems sharp, he seems with it, he seems perfectly capable of handling business. And then he's like, I thought that was a picture of me as a doctor. And it's like, well, then what the hell is going on? Then what is actually going on in your brain? Because that is a crazy thing to think. That's crazy. So there's some weird going on. I can't exactly put my finger on it. But he seems perfectly cogent and intelligent, and he's making the most insane mistakes anybody's ever made. So there's something missing here. And we're just trying to figure out what that is. The thing is, though, this isn't just about America. It's about the whole world. And the whole world is suffering the consequences of the Iran war and the closing of the Strait of Hormuz obviously doesn't nearly affect America as much as it does other people. But they seem to not be taking our side of this conflict. They seem to recognize that they were doing fine before America and Israel started this war. It wasn't Iran that started this war. Iran was working with them. Iran was negotiating. You know, the UK knows this directly. And again, this might be one of the reasons they're not going along with this. Like, maybe from the UK perspective, if everything the Trump administration was saying is true, maybe they'd go along with it. But they actually had people in the negotiations, so they know for absolute certain that Iran was offering to stop enrichment. They were offering to give up their nuclear program. This is from the official British attaché who was in person witnessing the negotiations. So it's kind of a harder sell to say, well, no, look, these guys could have had a diplomatic solution. They could have never launched this war. It was totally unnecessary. They did it on purpose. They did it by choice. And now we're suffering the consequences. We're not about to go help them. We're not about to go, you know, solve their problems for them. You know, maybe it'd be different if they weren't there in the negotiations. If they believed, well, Iran was being intractable, they tried their best, but war was inevitable. Well, yeah, maybe they'd have a different perspective. But they know the truth. They know that this whole war is totally unnecessary, totally ill-advised, totally stupid from the beginning. So why would they put their own people at risk for this? U.S. Security Advisor attended U.S.-Iran talks and judge deal was within reach. So this is the problem. When you play these deceptive games, people know and they don't trust you and they don't want to help you. This is the problem with all of this. Trump said other countries would help blockade Iran. So far, no takers. No takers. Anybody want to get involved in an ill-advised, totally destructive war that's impossible to win? Anybody? Any takers? Does anybody want to get involved in trying to solve the problem that we created with this war we never needed to launch and don't want to be in anymore? You want to join? You want to join us here in the pool? Of course Israel's involved. Of course Israel's the one doing it to us. We're one in the same. Remember, we're the big brother and they're the little brother with the chain around our neck, yanking it constantly. President Trump's announcement of a complete U.S. blockade was his latest effort to pressure Iran to negotiate after direct talks over the weekend did not yield an agreement. So again, you know, just the inconsistency of Donald Trump saying, you know, they blocked the Strait of Hormuz and they're basically blackmailing the whole world. So now I'm blackmailing the whole world. Now I'm putting the gun to the head of the European economies and saying, do what I say. It's like, okay, if it's so bad that Iran is blackmailing the world, you're now joining them? This doesn't make any sense. The messaging is insane. It's just nonsense. Hormuz blockade. Europe mobilizing against the U.S., not the Iran regime. That's the headline here. When President Trump announced on Truth Social that he wanted the U.S. needed help from Europe, Europe refused. And basically said, no, we're not helping America do this. In fact, we blame America for this. When President Trump announced on Truth Social that the U.S. Navy would blockade any and all ships trying to enter, leave, or leave the Strait of Hormuz, he also instructed the Navy to interdict vessels that had paid tolls to Iran and to destroy mines Iran placed in the waterway. CENTCOM subsequently clarified the actual scope. The blockade applies to vessels entering or departing Iranian ports and coastal areas and does not affect ships transiting the strait to and from non-Iranian ports. The blockade is therefore a naval embargo on the Iranian trade, not a closure of the strait to international shipping generally. But again, it's the messaging is so just inconsistent and vague. It's just leading everybody towards the belief that they got to either stay out for their own sake or, you know, join Iran basically just to put a stop to this because it's so obvious where the aggression is coming from. But then, and for a long time, we've heard the governments of Germany, the governments of England, basically ever since the Ukraine war started, the European elite have been salivating at the idea that they could just send huge portions of their young male populations into the meat grinder. Like right now, they're slowly but surely grinding down the European civilization through the importation of hostile foreigners, many of whom are Muslim, as well as the free speech restrictions and political machinations that leave anybody who actually is a European patriot and wants the best for their country totally incapable of gaining any power whatsoever. So it's a slow process of censorship and crushing the economic potential by shutting down power plants. And but it's slow, but it's effective, and they're destroying Europe that way. World War III takes everything that they're already doing and shoves it to turbo speed, goes to warp speed immediately. You're killing off the European people through mass migration. Send them as infantry against tanks instead. It's just so much quicker, so much more efficient. Just literally grind them into meat. And that way you don't even have to worry about them resisting your program. If you want censorship and surveillance, well, hell, being at war is the best excuse you could possibly have. Then you get to, they're not just fake news or hate speech. They're putting forward enemy propaganda and are therefore traitors and can be dealt with harshly. Everything they're already doing only gets maximized. So for years, they've been saying, oh, you got to get ready. Oh, we're going to do the draft. We're about to go to war. We got to build up our, you know, domestic forces so that we can defeat Russia. Of course, the difficult part about this is that there's something like, well, there's several million Syrians in Germany right now that Syria themselves say we don't want them back because we consider them an asset diplomatically and geopolitically. So they have a literal army waiting in Germany to take over should the German government ship all the young men overseas. It is literally a program of genocide. This should be obvious, and it has been for years, but it's taken on a new tenor and it's taken on a new character in my mind, because you suddenly have the leaders of all of these European and Anglo-diaspora governments coming out and saying exactly the same thing, and that is that war as it has been during the Cold War for the last 50 years or so, it's changing. We're going back to a more conventional style of warfare. So let's go to first clip number 8 here. This is Canada's defense chief saying the world has changed and we got to get ready for large scale conflicts. Let's watch.
I we need to understand that post Cold War we were asked to do different types of missions. So militaries equip and structure themselves to respond to specific types of missions. So we were most of the time asked to do missions in an expeditionary fashion, in a, you know, very specific theater of operation, within limited objectives. So then you organize, structure, equip yourself to be, to deliver, this type of mission. But the world has changed, as you mentioned, and we live it on a daily basis. We're now, looking at the, Ukraine's lessons learned, Russian behavior, and, you know, other of their, collaborators. So we have to get ready for large scale conflicts, more conventional. So we need a different military to do that and different capabilities.
Okay. So that's the talking point that's gone out. That's the New World Order manufactured consent term that they're pushing forward, is the world has changed. Now remember, to be a conspiracy theorist and to wake up basically from, to escape Plato's cave, all you really have to understand is things don't just happen. The world didn't just change, right? No, these people have policies that they're putting in place. The world changes in accordance to the policy, and then they look around and act like this just happened. Just all of a sudden. So essentially during the Cold War, especially because of the threat of nuclear weapons, we just stopped doing conventional war because it basically became, you know, with mutually assured destruction, it was impossible for America to face off with Russia, face off with the Soviet Union in a clash of armies like World War II or World War I, because it would inevitably get to the nuclear solution, and that just changed the whole face of warfare. And so everything became proxy wars. That's why you had Vietnam. That's why you had Korea. That's why you had the Middle East wars. That's why you had a bunch of manipulation in Africa. And that's actually what the term third world means, right? First world was the West. Second world was communism. Third world was all of those countries not aligned one way or the other, that there was constant, you know, battle over all throughout Africa. This was the case where you had, anyway. So that's what war has been like for a while, and we're still in that kind of mode of operation. Now, the ultimate goal of the globalists, and they always say that the point of globalism is to end war, and what they mean is an end to that type of conflict, where one nation, another nation have a problem, they fight, one wins, they get a peace agreement, they make a deal, the war ends. That's over. That's what they don't want anymore. What they want now is continual warfare by the system against anybody outside of the system. That's why they're not trying to defeat Iran conventionally and militarily and replace them with a new regime. They just want an open air thunderdome where they can just wage endless war forever on this playground of death. Like, that's what Syria is. That's what Libya is. That's the intention. That's the design. Okay, so that's actually the future of warfare. But again, this talking point has apparently gone out. We just heard from the Canadian lady. Now we can hear from Sir Richard Knightington, a UK military man, about how we need to get ready for conventional large-scale war. Exactly what the Canadian leader said. Let's watch.
I think the transition to conflict, transition to war, as it's described, NATO describes it, transition to conflict, has a military component to it, but also has a civilian component to it. The SDR talked about how we protect our critical national infrastructure, and we also talk about how we need to build that resilience into the systems as we renew them. I talked before Christmas of the need that when we think about renewing our water infrastructure or our electricity or our transport infrastructure, to think about the threat of action from an adversary that is above the threshold of war, so it's not just a hybrid threat, and think about how we build in that resilience as we renew it. And that requires to make some different choices and different priorities. And that work that the Cabinet Office is doing across the whole of government is something I really welcome.
So again, there is Sir Richard Knightington saying that the United Kingdom is preparing for basically a war economy, just like Trump announced that America would be a war economy. Like, these things don't, again, just happen. These aren't just coincidences that all of these various, you know, English-speaking nations are all echoing the same sentiment that, yeah, during the Cold War, there were little, you know, flare-ups. You'd send in people to achieve a goal. But now we're getting back to the big, big conflict. This is all just in service of a great World War III conflict where they can have Russians and Europeans killing each other, Americans and Iranians killing each other, Chinese and Indians killing each other, and we'll just have a massive die-off. We'll just kill all of the people that, you know, would resist the New World Order, and what we'll be left with is just a destroyed and traumatized dregs of, you know, the survivors that can all be easily corralled into cities and given a Mark of the Beast, you know, digital ID, and that'll be that. That's what they're moving towards. Everything is going into place to build that, and the Iran war is a key feature of this ultimate plan. Now, they're running into trouble because the European people are getting fed up and finally standing up against the deliberate destruction of the native population by the authorities there. Let's go to clip 16. Last week, the Irish government set the army on a small group of workers. This week, the people are shutting down the Irish economy in protest. So Ireland has had a lot of protests recently because they have been targeted for total destruction with massive, unbelievably huge and sophisticated colonies being built in Ireland, literal barracks filled with foreign men being shipped in. And again, you know, whether this has anything to do with Ireland's traditional and historic opposition to Israel, just like how Spain recently announced their opposition to Israel. Israel said Spain is now our enemy. And then 2 days later, Spain received an influx of hundreds of thousands of Africans. Very coincidental. I don't think these things are distinct and separate. I think they're actually deeply intertwined. But Irish has had problems. The Irish have had problems with their government for a while. And the latest is the fuel restrictions because of the Iran war. And then this is what we're seeing in response is endless lines of trucks and farming equipment being used to block roads and shut down the economy in protests. And the Irish army has been deployed to deal with this. And the Irish people are standing up. And we can go, well, we can listen to what this guy says, but essentially, you know, Ireland is standing up against this, and, you know, some Irish police are calling in sick because they don't want to be the ones to go crush the protest because they just know that that's being a traitor. And look, the Irish are getting pretty intense. Some of the fuel stations are refusing to sell fuel to Irish police. And so there's videos of police like pushing the cop cars because they've run out of gas and nobody will sell them gas. So like Ireland is really pushing back against this, but the Irish elite were prepared for this. They knew this was going to happen, and so they've done some things to get ready for it. One of the things they did, we reported on at the time that they did it, which is that the Irish Garda, their version of the FBI, the National Police of Ireland, who you see, you know, shutting down these protests, actually went to Pakistan and were advertising on Pakistani television in Pashtun or whatever the Pakistani language is, and recruiting from Pakistan people to go to Ireland and become the police. So let's go to clip number 12 here, Irish Garda police advertising, trying to recruit directly from Pakistan. Let's watch.
Really want to get the message out there amongst the Pakistan community, the Muslim community, and the broader community of the different nationalities that make up Ireland, that we want to see represented in our national police force and making a real difference. So please put in that application.
अस्सलाम वालेकुम मेरा नाम हफ्सा हुसैन है मैं पीओसी आयरलैंड की मीडिया एडवाइजर हूं आयरलैंड में बसने वाले ओवरसीज पाकिस्तानियों के लिए बहुत अच्छी खबर है कि गार्डश ये खाना ने अपनी रिक्रूटमेंट जो है
वो दिस इज द आयरिश गार्डे एक्टिवली रिक्रूटिंग डायरेक्टली फ्रॉम पाकिस्तान अनदर वे टू पुट दिस वुड बी द आयरिश एलीट आर इंपोर्टिंग अ फॉरेन आर्मी टू क्रश एंड ऑप्रेस द नेटिव्स दैट्स व्हाट्स एक्चुअली हैपनिंग हियर द आयरिश एलीट are importing and arming an army of Pakistani Muslims because they know that they'll be happy to crush the Irish. You know, the average Irishman becomes a police officer. He's given instructions. Hey, those people who are protesting the importation of, 1,000 adult Muslim men into their community of 500, go kick the women in the stomach and push them out of the road. And an Irish guy will go, what? No. What are you talking about? A Pakistani guy, you're telling him, hey, go crush the natives so that your people can move in. And he's like, great, I'll do that. That's the plan. They're doing it. That's the operation. That video is from like 2024. So they've been recruiting for years directly from hostile foreign nations so that they can arm those people, put them in uniform, and send them out to oppress the Irish. People are talking about an Irish civil war. You're already at war. Your elite is already at war. The British elite are already at war with the British people. The German elite are already at war with the German people. It's time the people of Europe recognize this and stand up against it. They've thrown down the gauntlet. The elite have declared this war. It has to be us that finishes it. That's going to be it for me. Gab McGinnis takes over on the other side of a quick commercial break. Please do support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. It's the only way that we get your support and the only way that we can talk about this incredibly important world-ending information. We don't act.
What's this? Oh, I've got Power Plant. Oh, what's this? I've got Methyl Drive, the two ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them.
Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
Go
Now, coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors, and that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and your being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Hello, folks. Welcome to, I guess this is Get Off My Lawn on InfoWars. I'll be filling in for the next couple hours. If you don't know who I am, my name is Gavin McInnes. I started Vice Media and the Proud Boys. I was also in the Guinness Book of World Records for most gorgeous genitalia, which I thought was weird. I didn't know that it was public, but I guess someone saw it somewhere. And I was hoping to give 110% today, but I'm a little hungover. I was with Tommy Robinson all weekend. We hosted him up at the America First Warehouse in Ronkonkoma, Long Island. He doesn't drink, but I do when I'm hosting someone. So I can only give you 100% today. Another thing that's going to bother you is I don't think AIPAC controls America. I have my problems with Israel, but I'm pretty much a Zionist. And I think this war is awesome. I don't think it's a war. I think it's shock and awe. I'm still on the Trump train, possibly more than ever. I can see the steam coming out of your ears right now, but if you're watching InfoWars all day, don't you want some variety of opinions? Isn't that more interesting? So I love Harrison Smith, funny guy. We got kicked out of CPAC together because some Antifa kid was threatening me. So I grabbed him and I told him I'm going to end him. And then he screamed for security, this little tough anarchist. So they kicked us out, and then Harrison got caught up in it somehow. And then we said, we're starting our own CPAC, and there's going to be hookers there and cocaine, which is not true. We were not starting a prostitute and drug infested CPAC. But, then we left and went and had some fun. So that's when I first met him. But yeah, he doesn't sound like he's a big fan of this war. I was just watching it with you guys. But this is where we're at right now, front page of the New York Post, the world's oldest still running daily newspaper, Hormuz Strait Jacket. Trump's blockade on Iran begins today. I think it's awesome. It's like the movie where the mobster, the bikers come in and they go, we'd like it if you would leave. They were actual Hell's Angels. No, they were wearing Hell's Angels colors from real coats. And after that, the Hells Angels said, no more Hells Angels logos. If you're going to, we can't have ourselves being beaten up by mobsters. It's bad for the brand. But anyway, what happens? The bikers won't leave. And then he just closes the door and he goes, now yous can't leave, which I think we all remember is one of the greatest moments in movie history. They're not wearing Hell's Angels gear, are they, Rob?
Now you can't leave.
They couldn't wear the... I think they were Hell's Angels, but they couldn't wear it in the film,
oh,
right?
Oh, that's it. Yeah. I'm already starting out the show with false information and fake news. But we all remember that as the greatest movie moment of all time. Look how bad the editing is.
Oh, yeah.
Show that again. Like, you should show
all
that.
All their courage and strength was drained right from their bodies. They had a reputation for breaking up bars. But they knew that instant they made a fatal
go back, dumbass.
Now you just can't leave.
Look at that.
I will never forget the look on their face.
Cool, cool, cool.
Now you just can't leave.
Yeah.
Hey, editor, you show his face 1-1000, 2-1000, and then he breaks the silence with "now you just can't leave." We don't even see the "n" of "now." We're too busy cutting in on him. Anyway, we've got all kinds of very important news. What's this first segment? 5 minutes?
It's not showing the normal countdown on here.
Okay, well, we'll just be at the mercy of the producers down there in Texas. Sabrina Carpenter? She's one of these chicks where I bet with no makeup she goes down from an 8 to maybe a 4. Is that her name?
Yeah, that's her name.
Sabrina Carpenter. Really? It reminds me of when I would date teenagers when I was a teenager. Don't worry, I'm not a perv. But when I was a kid in the 80s, girls would cake it on.
I've been an oilfield for as long as I've been an info warrior, 18 years. And Texan, born and raised, so I know, like, knife, like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm, like, horrible with equipment. I'm, like, very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So, anybody out there listening, who knows there's a knife comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80 or selling for like $40. We'll be right back.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Well, I was so rudely interrupted by my mentor, Alex Jones. I was talking about Sabrina Carpenter and the girls I would date. We've all dated it. If you're a Gen X in the 80s, we'd cake it on and you'd go home with some girl. That was back when I was 16 in 1986. You'd make out with a girl for like 6 hours, hoping to get a taste of something more than second base. And during that, their makeup would wear off. So you'd have red lipstick all over your face here. And you'd have tendonitis from trying to get into their skin-tight jeans. It was hell.
The 50s sounds like a weird time.
I bet the 50s was better. I don't know why. You know, we assume girls get looser and looser as time goes by. That's possibly not true. When I was a teenager, we were all petrified of AIDS. We're middle-class Canadians in Kanata, Ontario. No one's seen or heard of heroin or gays in 1,000 miles. And we're like, great. My teacher said that if you're with one partner, you're with all their partners, and it's exponential. So I've had sex with thousands of people. I'm going to die. We were all positive we were going to die. So it wasn't exactly falling from the trees back then. Anyway, Sabrina reminds me of those girls. And she was at a show this weekend doing her show. And some Arabs who are taking over. This is probably why I'm much more pro-war than the rest of you guys, is I'm an Islamophobe. And I see the Arab world going up, number of Muslims going up, number of Christians going down. We were like this. We're going to be like this. What was it? 2/3 of the world was Christian or something, and 1/3 was Muslim. And that's going to reverse in a decade or so. Anyway, they start doing the Zagruta. And she doesn't know what it is. And she just goes with her instincts, which is, that's annoying.
I think I heard someone yodel. Is that what you're doing? I don't like it.
It's my culture.
That's your culture, is yodeling? Is this Burning Man? What's going on? is weird.
Yeah, you accidentally revealed yourself as a xenophobe. Welcome to the club, Sabrina. Isn't it awesome? You are correct. That is a very annoying call. It's very primitive, too. It's like we probably did it as cave people or something to ward off evil spirits, and then we grew up and invented music. But here, go to 12. You can see some Arabs talking about it. So Sabrina has, of course, since apologized. I didn't know that it was a cultural thing. Now I like it. I was going with my ear holes and not what I'm told by my masters.
What is your favorite Egyptian wedding tradition?
The Garuta?
We did together. I don't like it.
Oh, sorry, guys. Sorry. Yeah, they're doing a podcast of that. So what is
your... Here's what... I've lived all over the world. China. I was born in England. My parents are Scottish. We used to go back there every year. Taiwan, Singapore, Australia. And I've been all over Europe. I've been all over the place. And I can say, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the West is the best. That was the sort of the caveat for the Proud Boys. That was the what started it all. And it's okay to admit that. It's okay to admit that that sounds annoying. You know what else I find annoying? The haka. Oh. It may have been a fun thing for kids in the 60s or something to do. Initially, it's a Maori war dance. But now it means F you. It's this. And doing it in Parliament, it's, and I find, if you go find earlier examples of it, my old buddy Ryan Rivera brought this up. They were much more sort of cool. It's gotten really like, yeah. It used to be more like, he. If this ever happened to me at my job and I worked in, I just walk out. I'm not going to sit here and be stomped at. And in sports, they do it as sports teams and the other team just stands and stares at them. Turn your back to them. This is a very primitive and ridiculous, silly dance.
Eonga 40.
If 6 votes opposed.
Right. And that chin tattoo, it looks like you were eating soup without a napkin. You get to wear just a t-shirt and sneakers. All right, that's enough. Isn't that rude?
I don't like it.
By the way, go to 1-4. The Maoris, they like to pretend that they had their land stolen from them by the evil Brits. No, they massacred the Brits. They had these, their weapons were like haka fatigue. Their weapons looked like girls' field hockey sticks. They were sharp wood. And they would hide in the sand. So you just saw mounds of sand. The British come up and they go, well, this is a lumpy beach. And then they would come out and shoo, decapitate the Brits. So eventually the Brits just said, okay, can we negotiate something where you get land and we get land? I'm done fighting you. You're too savage. And the reason that they lived in New Zealand is because they had taken over from the indigenous people there. The Maori are colonizers.
That clip from New Zealand Parliament of the haka temper tantrum. What I find funny is so many are quick to jump and say that New Zealand has to respect the Maori because they're Maori natives and the New Zealanders are these evil white colonizers. But it begs the question, are they the natives? They were the first there and therefore they're the indigenous, right? Except you would be wrong because before the Maori got there, there was a group called the Moriori, a small, literally pacifistic Polynesian tribe. For people who love to cry about how evil the British colonizers were, we can only imagine that when the Maori arrived and met the Moriori, they probably came with open arms and gifts. Except no, in the 1800s, they started the Moriori War and slaughtered nearly all of them. There's not even a thousand of them.
That's a bad habit, by the way, to be going like this with your microphone. It makes almost every letter pop out. Chill. You're at a recording studio, literally. If you would like more proof that the Third World sucks, let's check in on their video games. Some of their more popular video games involve having to go get the pieces after each turn because they've gone flying away. Look at this culture. No roads. So I'll give a hoop what you do, say some girl. Giant chimney for some reason. I'll be shooting a shot like 2K, girl. I know. Tell them I'm Okay, try to deke out the rubber rings. Okay, now we got to go get those rings. We launched them in outer space. Meanwhile, these guys are like 50 years old. Can we just start recolonizing again? Like everyone says, I was talking about this last week, everyone says the proof that the Jews are evil is they... Oh, that was a good one. Now I'm getting suckered into it. They've been kicked out of 109 countries. What about Britain? Iran, they've been kicked out of 90 countries. No, they chose to leave. Okay. Another piece of red left my atlas today. But places like Jamaica, have you seen Jamaica in 1960 before the revolution when they kicked the English out or voluntarily left or whatever you want to call it? It was stunning. Although you could say the same of Detroit, St. Louis, Baltimore. When you see pictures that say 1910 of basically anywhere, it looks beautiful. You know what that is today? Dirt, cinder blocks, rebar, a Rastaman with one rubber boot on, one sandal, a little kid's sweater on top of a long sleeve shirt, some tartan pants, and a kid's beach shovel stuck in his hair. And he's stabbing you. I think everyone was better off. So, yeah, Sabrina apologized, and she will never do that again. Justin Bieber, also in important breaking news, he played Coachella this week for $10 million. Everyone says it's a groundbreaking price. Genesis' last concert was like $230 million.
They meant just for Coachella or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah. $10 million, I got that on me.
Me too.
I offered to pay the Sandy Hook bill for Alex, and he said, don't worry about it, I got it. Mm-hmm. Okay. But this might be the worst concert I've ever seen. And I saw the Replacements get so drunk they fell off stage. Got a monitor playing YouTube videos of himself with a bunch of gymnasts flipping at a beach party. And then you can see him dancing to his own music. He's not even singing. So then he gets bored of that and he stops the song. And plays another song. Yes?
I have some insight into why that happened.
He's become addicted to, wait, let me guess the drug. Ketamine.
Maybe. But he sold his music catalog. So you have to pay to perform your own songs. So he only did like ones that were not on his catalog, like B-sides that are.
Well, he did a medley of all his greatest hits.
Then I guess I've heard.
Maybe medleys. Maybe if you don't play the whole song, it's
hey,
null and void. Maybe. But I thought when a musician sells his publishing, he can't get any of the record money.
You don't,
but you get all your live shows, I thought.
I don't know. Yeah.
Like the Beastie Boys, they didn't get anything from the first album. That all went into Rick Rubin's pocket. Yeah. Rick Rubin is the most overrated douche, the ruiner of bands. What's his other claim to fame? I told Johnny Cash to do a bunch of covers. Okay. Johnny Cash did a good version of a Nine Inch Nails song. Okay. And then Alien Ant Farm or that. What are they called again?
System of a Down.
System of a Down? What? Like cheesy prog rock metalcore? He's a genius. Most creative man in the world. Yeah, okay. What's 1-8?
That is more Bieber. Fever, we got
it.
Let's
see it again. Now, I know you're saying, dude, I'm 60 years old. Why are you showing me Justin Bieber? Because these are our children. This is what our children listen to. Sabrina is much more influential than anyone on this network, especially me. So they move mountains, these people, and then they become our politicians, our bosses. They're the ones who send us to an old folks home. You can ignore the youth at your own peril. This is the culture.
Oh, he's
Googling it.
He's Googling his songs. For 10 million. Hey, can you come on stage and Google yourself? Can you YouTube yourself for $10 million?
Okay. Yeah.
Can you tell a funny anecdote about that? Really? Yeah, and I looked up that Genesis concert that was $230 million. God, I bet there, I'm a cheap person. I'm Scottish. But I bet there was so much waste. Look how bad this is. Oh, my God. Holy shit. All right, that's enough of that. You know what, Sean? I'm going to go off script here.
Okay.
How much more time do we have?
Probably about 9 minutes right now.
I want to get into Trump and Ireland and the justice crisis we're in, but we've got some time here. And after, I think Harrison was pretty heavy, so let's keep it light. Why don't we introduce this segment to a new audience? It's called Celebrities
Okay.
Telling Mundane Stories. Now, that also sounds irrelevant, but it is relevant. We live in a celebrity culture here in America. We mock Brits for their monarchy. Jay-Z and Beyonce are our monarchs. They live in the most expensive piece of real estate ever sold in California. We worship them, not me, not you. They do. Go criticize Beyonce and see what happens to your feed. It's a lot less severe if you criticize King Charles. So the evidence of that is we get a celebrity in front of a microphone and then he tells us that he met Frank Sinatra once and got his drink order wrong. And we as Americans are so happy that we're hearing a celebrity talk about a celebrity. No one questions the actual story. And as someone who doesn't really, I'm not really particularly interested in film stars. I took this punk band on a tour. Crass was the band. And they're old now. They were big when I was in the early 80s. And G. Vauché did all their graphics. And she was visiting New York, so I took her on a tour. And this is the same kind of thing. So we're on the horse and carriage tour of Central Park. And the guy's like, yeah, that's where Diana Ross used to stay. And over here, you know, you heard of the guy from Golden Girls, B. Arthur. She used to live in that apartment. And he's telling us about all these celebrities. And nothing really but the history of New York and Central Park. All this celebrity lived there. And when we were done, he goes, what'd you think? Was that all right? And I go, yeah. And then G says to him, I'm not particularly interested in film stars. That hurt his feelings. So if you're not particularly interested in film stars, well, there's Gene getting up. Welcome. I should have been looking for the document while you were doing that. I don't think I've seen that before.
Yeah, we've only played that once, I think.
I was so excited. Yeah. All right, this is a pretty esoteric segment that we do. It's a love it or hate it. Some people, it's sort of like we do another thing called woman porn, which isn't exactly what it sounds like. It's not Playgirl. It is these stupid TV shows where like a black surgeon is saving a man who's a criminal and the police go, give us his blood. And they go, not without a warrant. And then the police arrest the black surgeon because he makes sure that his patient's rights are maintained. That's not a thing. But it is in TV land. Okay. This one is so bad, it's good. Conan O'Brien is talking to Arsenio Hall about how he met him once. And what's amazing about this story is he skips over fascinating things that they both have insider baseball on, like Johnny Carson was viciously, furiously, passionately jealous about everyone who was close to him, especially Joan Rivers. And he X'd her for appearing on another talk show without asking his permission, just appearing. And then she was blackballed from the Tonight Show. And her manager, which was her husband, killed himself. That's an interesting story. The David Letterman wars with Jay Leno. That was interesting. They made a whole movie about that. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
They had to give some guy a prosthetic chin. No, not getting into that. I'm just going to say I met you once and you were nice. Spoiler alert, I just gave away the ending. Yeah.
Joan Rivers is a frequent guest on Johnny Carson's Tonight Show. She gets offered her own show. She does it, causes a major feud with Carson because he does not like that. She's on Fox. She does a show. It implodes. It doesn't work.
The Beastie Boys were on it.
But you had gone on that show.
Yeah, as a stand-up.
Mm-hmm. You had been successful on that show. And then when Joan leaves, they need someone to kind of... This thing's still on.
Yeah, they got 11 weeks with just a set.
Yeah.
And Joan leaves. She's not coming back. I think Edgar, her husband, killed himself.
He did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, like, pause.
That ship is safe.
What? You know what it is? Celebrities get their asses kissed so much that they could talk about paint drying and everyone is just... And they've gotten soft. They're storytelling obese. They're out of shape, flabby. Why did Joan Rivers leave? What was the catalyst that set her out of the studio? Why did the husband kill himself? Hello?
Killed. And they went through a lot of guys letting them have the show for one night. From Wally Cox to Malcolm Jamal Warner to Suzanne Summers. Because I remember Suzanne Summers did very good. And in the end... They were choosing between me and Suzanne Summer.
So you
That's
come
mildly
on,
interesting.
And they more or less say,
"Why'd they choose
hey, Arsenio,
you?
Arsenio, you're really good at this. Why don't you just, this show is ending, but why don't you take over till it ends?" Now, here's the thing you don't know.
Oh my God.
That show ends and there's kind of a feeling like, wow, that Arsenio guy did really well. He's going to come back. Okay. And here's the thing you don't know. There's a replacement show after Joan's show.
Wilton North.
The Wilton North.
I do know this now.
Okay, so the Wilton North report gets...
How did you know he doesn't know that?
He's going to put on a show. There's no host for it yet, but they get some writers before they even have the host.
And who's the writer, Conan?
And I get this call, and my writing partner and I go in, and we get offered jobs to write. We need work. We haven't worked in a bit. So mm-hmm. we say, sure, we'll do it. We don't know what this is. Who are the hosts? They say, we don't know yet. We're going to find them. And so one of the first meetings we had, you were still, I think, finishing up your show. Mm-hmm. And we were just having an early introductory meeting.
Here it comes.
I leave and I heard there's, and I go, is there anything to eat around here? And they go, yeah, there's a snack room in there. I go into the snack room.
Ready?
And I see you. And you are at the refrigerator getting something. And I said, oh, I knew who you were. I'm like, that's the guy who's been, you know,
you weren't holding down the fort.
You were holding down the fort. And I was like, oh, hey. And you were so nice to me. You were like,
drum roll.
Hey. You were very gracious. And you were like,
I am so glad this story goes like that.
No.
Excuse me, white meat.
Well, you did call me white meat, but you were very nice about it. You were like, really white meat.
And I'm
like,
well, white meat.
Joan Rivers.
Can we play it again?
That's the entire story. He's such a megalomaniac too. He has to go, well, let's see where I fit into your life, Arsenio. I was a young writer. I met you and you were nice. I don't give a crap. What? And then Arsenio has to put a button on the end and go white meat just to give it something. At least he could see how bad that was. God, I hate, why do celebrities exist? I've always said this. I'm watching a movie. I actually stole this from Justin Theroux, another celebrity. But he says, you're watching Castaway. You see Tom Hanks. You don't see a guy stranded on an island. You see Tom Hanks. You know him. Oh, his son is Chet, that white boy summer guy. So you got to really like squint to pretend that's not Tom Hanks. It's not like acting is hard. Like with the NBA, with the MLB, throwing us a fastball at 102 miles an hour, that's... A fraction of 1% of the population can ever hope to achieve that. So that I don't mind. Acting is easy peasy. Go check out my movie, How to Be a Man. I'm exquisite. And all you do is pretend to be a guy. It's retard maxing is what it is. You don't overthink. We had a hell of a weekend trying to retard max. If you're not familiar with retard maxing, like because you're old, I just learned about it too. It's basically don't worry, be happy.
We got 10 seconds, so maybe you can tell us about it.
Okay, I'll tell you about retard maxing after the break. Okay? Is that acceptable? Tell me.
I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. It doesn't work? Tell me. Here it is, brother.
He's yours.
Looks just like the stuff from Dune, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexShowStore.com. I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling 3 emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and 2 others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get 1 or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support. I'm holding in my hands 2 compounds that are guaranteed to change your life. T3, pure atomic iodine, nobody else has it. It's next level. And ultramethylene blue, medical grade methylene blue. These 2 products together supercharge the mitochondria in the cells, clean out the body, and are game changers. Iodine is essential, meaning you die without it. The UN admits that most people that have cognitive disabilities is because of lack of iodine. You add ultramethylene blue to this, it supercharges everything. Ladies and gentlemen, T3 is now available. DallasTheStore.com, the very best iodine that we know of that exists. There may be better. We'll adopt that if we can. But this is the best for sale we found, and we have the best medical grade, ultramethylene blue. Get yours now, right now. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off. It funds the InfoWar, but more importantly, it is a game changer. If you don't take my advice and try this, you're insane. All you got to do is try it. You'll be blown away. Take action now. TheAlexShowStore.com to get T3, now available, and methylene blue at TheAlexShowStore.com.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from TheAlexShowStore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at TheAlexShowStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
During the break, we learned that that Sabrina, that thing we showed, was it at Coachella. I gotta say, the stage production looked pretty cool.
but I would rather pull out my own eyes. So let's that's enough of celebrities telling mundane stories. I want to get serious for a second here, get into Trump. By the way, Sabrina apologized because that's our culture, or I think it was our culture. I think we are getting less apologetic around now, like the past 2 years. So that's kind of old news for her to apologize about not liking Arab things. But I thought this was interesting. There's a satirical school paper, which is an interesting thing because, you know, we had Harvard Lampoon brought us National Lampoon, brought us Animal House. It's a stalwart of American comedy. All the Simpsons writers were from Harvard Lampoon. I'm in Harvard Lampoon. And it's where funny people get their start. And you're also kind of at your funniest in your early 20s, right? You just moved out of your house and you're getting laid and you're interesting. It's a good time to be coming up with jokes, not so much at 55. But this paper is being eviscerated for their disgusting, horrific jokes. And of course, they're apologizing profusely. Sorry, Sean, yep. This is 1-6.
You want the video first?
Well, no, I want the tweet first. Okay. This is, what's his name, Greg Lukowitz, I think? Fire? The group that fights for free speech on Greg Lukianoff. I had dinner with him once. He cuts up all his food before eating it. That really bothered me. Fire is deeply troubled by UNC's decision to condemn satire. I mean, if there's one thing that is protected in the First Amendment, it's satire. And announced an investigation into protected student expression. The Daily Tar Heel. It always has names like this. Like my university, Carleton University, it was called the Charlatan, the Trickster. And we still had to bend over backwards. Like, they canceled all the comics I did. I've told this story 100 times, but one of our professors, when I was the cartoonist for the Charlatan in at Carleton University in Ottawa, Ontario, and his name was Marvin Glass. He's dead now. He was the head of the Canadian Communist Party, and he was our teacher, a professor of philosophy, and he burned down his office by accident. So I did a cartoon of him. He smoked a lot with cigarettes everywhere, and he's playing with these Bolshevik action figures and not noticing that his desk is on fire. And they go, no, you can't do that because it implicates him. I go, we're called the Charlatan. It's not the Wall Street Journal. So they go, no, just make it like cut him out of it. Okay. So I drew an ashtray with some Bolshevik soldiers. Now that it still implicates him too much. I quit after this, by the way. You know what my last drawing was? It was a cartoon of fire because you don't know what fire looks like. Allow me to draw it for you. So this problem, I think, I'm talking about 1990 right now. So this problem has been going on since then. And you know what's funny? I looked at, they had all their archives there, and I was looking up the 70s, and it was over the top, racist, sexist, hilarious. The editor's photo was a penis with glasses on it, an actual penis, not even like blurred or anything. That was the editor's photo. How far we've fallen. After calls from takedowns from student groups and the student body president, the paper took articles down and apologized. Hill After Hours, a separate registered student group, also posted and deleted a TikTok sketch satirizing a stereotypical white student walking through an area of campus where predominantly students of color have historically lived. Now, this is what I really hate about when they attack satire. You don't know where the satire was going. It's art. So this girl does a snobby bourgeois fake tour of the crappy part of the campus. That could be, you could argue that's mocking rich white people. Like it's a pro working class joke. So what you do when you censor someone is you imbue this motive on them that they don't have a choice, that they didn't choose this motive. It's rape. You're raping this girl because you're saying this is what you meant by that, by your art. And what does it produce? A world like that is gray. You know, people would take Alex Jones's quotes out of context and say, he said this, he shouldn't have talked so recklessly where it could be taken out of context. If you're speaking in a way where nothing can be taken out of context and sound bad, you're not speaking in a colorful way. You're speaking in a very drab gray way. And that sucks. That's no fun. It's un-American too. That's Soviet. That's China. Anyway, go down to the video. This is what they've apologized for.
Hey guys, welcome back to my channel. Today I'm going to be taking a step outside of Granville and exploring a third world country, South Campus. Now I know what you guys are thinking. Stacey, isn't that like super dangerous? The truth is, the people here are just like us, and I'm here to prove it. I just can't wait to bask in their culture and in their struggle. The truth
is funny.
We have nothing to be afraid of. But just in case, I brought some bodyguards.
They were...
You ready?
Skinheads, that would be funny.
Pepper spray?
Check.
Taser?
Check.
Vape?
Check. Let's do this.
They're mocking classism. I hate direct jokes while they're happening, but...
I'm surprised this place has roads and buildings. I always thought it was just desert.
Missing brick, 2 o'clock.
All right.
Don't touch anything.
So you get the idea, right? They can't do that. You may not make that joke. What was the other thing in the next picture next to it? So that's the video from the separate group. And then UNC brings back DEI for whites. Now, if that was a joke that glorified black people, they would not be apologizing. But you can't make jokes for that. And again, just like the video, you could argue that is mocking white people in that. It's actually kind of a politically, both of those jokes are kind of politically correct. But the authorities are so dim and tyrannical that they just see controversy, slightly interesting take, and race, and they stop there, call you a racist, and make you apologize. I will never apologize for creating the Western world. That's what the Proud Boys say at every meetup. I'm a Western chauvinist, and I refuse to apologize for creating the modern world. Speaking of refusing to apologize, allow me to make you all incredibly angry by promoting Trump. Can you play the interstitial, please?
Sure.
Okay, let's do this. I'll try to fill the dead air with nattering. And try to keep you interested while we roll the thing that is coming up any second now.
Here, my name is Trump, and this is my show, JK. It's a segment, but that's all we need to know, frankly.
You know who does a really good Trump impression?
Who's that?
Everyone. Oh. Stop. It's hack. It's like Alex Jones. Doing an Alex Jones impression is hack. This is, so I'm sure this has been covered to death today, and it'll be covered after me. I can't not talk about it, but Trump depicted himself as Jesus, 2-1. I think he's since taken it down, which is kind of an apology. He's not quite as bad. This is 2-1. Yeah. And the weirdest thing about it is, so I think what happened is someone made fan art of him, and he just saw it as a holy figure, and he's like, cool, it's a drawing of me. My fans would probably like this. I'm going to post it. And then his team, instead of them going, Donald, you're not just a saintly figure. You're the main guy. You're the son of God. I think that's a little blasphemous. Instead of them doing that, they go, his staff sees those, I guess they're soldiers above him, and decide that's the controversial part. Everyone in the White House is incompetent. So they change them to demons because that's less controversial somehow. And there you have it. This is explained in the text above it. So the new version that the White House put out adds demons. Wait, yeah. Original photo was posted by Nick Adams, but someone in the Trump camp decided it would be wise to alter it to add a demon. Holy crap. So everyone's real mad about that. Even my wife was outraged. I'm not. I think it's funny. I don't know. Maybe it's my background is as a punk rock liberal kid. So, I mean, I am in the Knights of Columbus, and we did swear allegiance to the Pope, and we did promise never to criticize priests or the Pope. I said to my hardcore Catholic friends, what am I supposed to do when the Pope says, open the borders up? And he goes, we just say he's been misinformed. So I think this modern pope is pretty misinformed. But here was Trump crapping on him. Pope Leo is weak on crime, terrible for foreign policy. He talks about fear of the Trump administration, doesn't mention the fear. He goes on, I mean, I won't read the whole thing. It's very famous now, but he says he was only chosen because he's American, and that
his attacks on me will have more power as an American. They should have hired his brother. His brother would have made a way better pope. This Leo's weak on crime, weak on nuclear weapons, doesn't sit well with me. So, yeah, he hangs out with David Axelrod. I don't really see this as an attack on the pope. He doesn't call the pope a loser. Well, I guess he calls him weak. Tommy Robinson was much more... Oh, we'll get to Tommy Robinson in a second. No, let's do it in order.
Okay.
Tommy Robinson called him a pussy, but I want to use that as a segue to discuss my weekend with the man. I don't know. I think it's a good time to scare our enemies. I think Iran is at the center of a lot of terrorist funding. So is Qatar. Qatar, I guess you're supposed to pronounce him. And I hate them. And I see the death toll so far as the butcher's bill. There, I said it. Please calm down. Obviously, if it blows up and it becomes a quagmire, I'll be furious. But you feckless fair-weather friends, you've jumped off the Trump train the second the going got tiny bit rough. And now all you'll talk about is the imminent apocalypse. I guess if it bleeds, it leads. But it ain't bleeding yet. So why are you leading the charge away from Trump? I think so far everything's going great. Now you just can't leave. And he also is coming across as a nut, by the way, with this, like, what did he call them? He said, open the effing, I can't even say it on InfoWars, what he said to the world. Open the effing straight, you crazy bastards, on Easter Sunday. That was awesome.
And he said, praise Allah.
praise Allah. And I think it's good to be seen as deranged in a time of war. No one's ever respected Trump in the rest of the world, whether it's the elites in Europe, the globalists, obviously, but the third world, you know, the United Nations types. So, okay, I'll just make you scared like I'm a psycho. You're going to run around with rubber boots and no pants on and a knife in your hand. And now when you're going to negotiate, it's kind of sketchy. Like you're scared of him. That's as good as respect. Fear and respect, they're about the same. We'd prefer respect. That's a lot cooler. But fear will do in a pinch. What's a 2-3?
This tweet here.
Oh, yeah. This is a good little segment from GB News, Great Britain News. And he says things are going great.
Do you want the video?
Yeah, let's play the video because he really just quotes the video. It's about 2 minutes long. I don't like that collar.
The truth about this war that nobody wants to tell you. It isn't about toppling Iran's
Zoom way
regime
out, dude.
Before you ask. It's about reshaping the global world order. And I think that's happening right now. And I want to tell you how Britain is staring down the barrel of a dark age we haven't seen for over 1,000 years. This all comes, of course, as President Trump says, Tuesday will be power plant day and bridge day, all wrapped up in one in Iran if the key shipping lane in the Strait of Hormuz
That's last Tuesday,
is not reopened.
Right?
And of course, yeah. Lots of expletives there we have blurred out for you. But this is bigger than a headline or a Truth Social post in this war. And the evidence is not actually being kept from us. We're just blind to seeing it because nobody's talking about it. America has made no secret of its new doctrine. It is stepping back from being the world's police and repositioning itself as a powerful, self-reliant fortress.
That is why President Trump has drawn a new strategic map from Greenland to the Gulf of America to the Panama Canal and its surrounding countries. At the Department of War, we call this strategic map the Greater North America.
Interesting stuff, isn't it? So what does America actually gain from this war before we get on to the greater North America? Well, let's look at a map here, shall we? I'll bring this up for you. The Strait of Hormuz, you can see there, is one of the most critical energy choke points on this planet. It is also a whopping 45% of China's oil flowing through it. That is a lot of oil that China needs. But it isn't just Iran.
Just pause for a sec. I read recently, I was talking to Tommy Robinson about this, because he's pro-invading Iran, too. Not full-on war, but what we're doing now. I don't even call it a war. But China has something like 100 days of oil. I don't know why. Can't they produce their own oil?
I was looking that up, too, and it turns out that's kind of normal, but I guess since they're in such a choke point, that's a big deal.
Right. Well, our gas prices are high. I want Venezuela's oil. I want Iran's oil. And I want them to be crippled. And I don't want China. We're negotiating tariffs with China right now. So it's, I'd like to see them sweat.
Cross your minds back to January this year, where Trump effectively has now captured Venezuela and declared its oil is under their control. And if you have a look at this graph, who there in the red relies heavily on that oil? Well, it looks like China to me. Now consider the impeccable timing of all of this since January. America is right in the middle of a tariff and trade negotiation with the very stubborn and very powerful, might I add, Chinese government, who are not budging on Donald Trump's arrangements here. Well, look who's got the upper hand all of a sudden. It's America. They are now controlling the vast swathes of oil that China needs. That puts them in a very strong position going forward on these tariff agreements. And Europe is also getting hit hard a lot with this. With Russian energy totally off the table and domestic energy security weakened by this leftist obsession with net zero, Europe is becoming increasingly dependent on external oil supply and energy supply. And that puts America, again, in a very strong position because we will soon be wholly dependent on American supplies of oil and gas. They will dictate terms and use energy as leverage, not just economically, but geopolitically too. And what do we know that they really want? Greenland. They want Greenland. They've made that very clear and they didn't get it yet. So the longer this war drags on, the more dependent.
We get it. Sitting here, we're sitting here watching someone else do my show.
Did you notice the spelling error in the bottom subtitle?
No. Okay, I can't really read that.
Repoing the Strait of Hormuz instead of Rio.
Ooh, jeez. Come on, guys. That's embarrassing. So it's kind of 4D chess. You know, I did a video this week. It went super viral. It's my most successful tweet. I think got a million views. But I said that, you know, there's nuance with Judaism. There's secular Karens who attack me and my family regularly. I live in a disproportionately Jewish town. I hate them. And then I have my Orthodox Jewish friends who, you know, we fight the government together. And Ron Coleman, Ezra Levant, John Gross. So I started out with that. And then I said, this is totally different than any other of the wars. This is not Afghanistan. It's not a quagmire like Iraq. This is not somewhere we're going to be stuck for a long time. I wouldn't be surprised we're out of there in a week. I can feel the rage at the other end of the screen. I'm glad we're separated by by thousands of miles. If you punch the screen, you're only going to hurt your TV. Don't do it. Just send me scathing tweets and talk about how they must have something on me. Tucker is at the other end of the spectrum when it comes to discussing Trump's actions. He's not into 4D chess. He thinks Trump might be the Antichrist.
And you have to think through, like, could there be a spiritual component to what we're watching? Is it just a conventional escalation ladder in a badly thought out war with ill-defined goals, and we just wound up in this really tough place where we face either humiliation on the one side or a nuclear launch on the other? That's part of what it is, but could it be something bigger than that? Is it possible that what you're watching is a very stealthy yet incredibly effective attack on what, from a Christian perspective, is the true faith, belief in Jesus? Is that what really is under attack?
All right,
that's
what you get. Maybe that's Tucker's idea. I think it's funny when people talk about hell and the Antichrist, because I live in New York City. Well, I work in New York City. And if you want to go to hell, if you want to see what hell is like, you should have been with me and Tommy walking around the city on Sunday trying to get to the Circle Line. We watched Luton Football Club play the cup final. That was 10 a.m. New York City time. But you just check in on New York once in a while if you want to see what hell is. Here's 2-5 is a good example.
Thank you for
someone's
them.
In Times
yeah,
Square.
Check this out. We got free all prisoners, murder all authority, love all immigrants.
Love it. Where are you from?
Where am I from? I'm from hell.
Hell.
the devil in the flesh, yo.
Okay. Well, I guess, you know, how would you compare Times Square to hell?
how would I prepare shit?
Yeah.
I don't know, just like legally force all cops to commit suicide, you know? Get rid of all fucking crimes. All crimes are fucking bullshit, you know? To live is to sin. Sinning is a good thing, you know? No one fucking good person. Like, who the fuck doesn't say fuck? That's all it comes down to, right? If there's people in heaven and like none of them have said fuck, like fuck all of them, they all suck.
Well, sorry about that language there, folks. Wow. So Trump criticized the Pope. He might be the Antichrist, according to many. And Tommy Robinson, my buddy Tommy, that we did a show with this weekend. I did a sit-down sort of Q&A, kind of like inside the actor's studio, and just asked him about his crazy life. I hope it went well. He's a real chatterbox, so you can ask him one question and not get to the next one for 40 minutes. But when someone's life is that interesting, I mean, is he's seen now the hip things to call him a Zionist shill and a Mossad agent. His Jewish interests are pretty much nothing. I mean, it's basically the how we feel about the Amish. Like, oh, they're cool. Comes across your radar once in a while. But he's not really into, I mean, he's been to Israel. He's been all over the world. He's been to the UAE recently. But he called the Pope a pussy. God does not bless any conflict. Anyone who is a disciple of Christ, the Prince of Peace, is never on the side of those who once wielded the sword and today drop bombs. Military action will not create space for freedom in times of peace, which comes only from the patient promotion of coexistence and dialogue among peoples. Pussy! One funny thing I liked about the show, lecture podcast this weekend was I got into his soccer hooliganism. Luton Football Club, where he's from, it's north of London, maybe about 30, 40 minutes, and they're not a particularly successful football team. They get mad when you say soccer, but they're known as the most violent one, next to maybe Tottenham. And he was absolutely unapologetic about it. I talked about, you know, prospects and how you recruit people in the team, and when you go to fight, there's this whole sort of Roman phalanx where they flank their enemies on both sides. And he's like, yeah, it was awesome. I wish I could still do it today. I don't apologize for that. That seems to be a running theme today. He goes, it was really, really fun. And I realized it's a sport. Soccer hooliganism is a sport. It's mutual combat. There's no knives. There's no like hurting people's families. It's at a pre-arranged location. And they go there and beat the crap out of each other. There's even a mutual respect kind of thing. Like at one point he told me he was getting arrested at the airport and he could tell something was going to go down. So he saw someone from a rival football club and said, oh, if I get arrested, can you make sure my wife and kids go home okay? He's like, no problem, Tommy, no problem. Like the way a boxer would talk to another boxer. So that was a wake-up call. I think they care more about the violence than the game. When I was with Tommy at a Luton game, we spent more time down at the pub, spending £3 per beer, than going up into the stands and watching the game. They have sort of these labyrinth of tunnels underneath the game, and that's where you go and get your pints. Whereas stadiums go up high. So yeah, Tommy's having a big thing on May 16th. I don't know. I went to the one on September 13th. Of last year, there was about 3 million people there. And you know what was so cool about it? Charlie Kirk had just died that week. They play the national anthem. There's a moment of silence for Charlie Kirk. There was Charlie Kirk flags everywhere. And this is in London. That Friday night, the night before the rally, there was a huge vigil with hundreds of people. And he just died.
You got 5 seconds.
It was beautiful. When we come back, we'll discuss May 16th and,
I've been an OFO for as long as I've been an Info Warrior, 18 years. And Texan, born and raised, so I know like knives like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm, like, horrible with equipment. I'm, like, very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows if a knife comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the Ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80 or selling for like $40. We'll be right back. I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue. Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up
about it.
Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
So yeah, I was in the UK last September, and it was very peaceful, very pro-Charlie Kirk. I think my theory is Britain has not had free speech ever. Up until 2 years ago when Elon bought Twitter, and all of a sudden when the media lies and says this guy's a racist, this guy was harassing Muslims, this guy waterboarded a beautiful little Syrian child, you can go, no, that Syrian child was threatening to rape his sister and he just shoved him. And now the media, the media and the government are the same thing. I mean, it's the British Broadcasting Corporation. It is the government. So they're not used to not controlling the narrative. They're actually working hard to shut down Twitter in Britain. So one of the reasons I think they identify with Charlie Kirk so much is they just got free speech for the first time ever in 2020. Was it four when he bought it? So obviously when the messiah of free speech is killed, excuse my blasphemy, they feel it. So let me, if you're remotely near Britain or you're remotely interested in Britain, I mean, Britain is a dystopian time machine of where we will be in 5 years. So again, ignore it at your peril, but let's give him a free ad here.
May 16th. May 16th. Four nations, one kingdom. The entire globe's media, the alternative media, the independent media, citizen journalists from every country in the world are descending on our capital city on May 16th. Your voice, your message is going worldwide. We've got the world's attention. Now, what comes with that? I'm excited because on September 13th, we laid the foundation for a cultural movement. It's going to grow. It's going to be bigger. It's going to be in central London, and your country needs you. Why am I here now talking about this? Because from the days of the English Defence League, what builds a cultural movement? Music. We had our own songs in the EDL. We had our own identity. That's what we've brought to you with Unite the Kingdom. It's who we are. We're uniting four nations, one kingdom. That's the name of our new song. We're releasing this song now. I ask you to learn it, share it, spread it. Everywhere I walk before the last event, every street I walk down, we'll see you on September 13th, Tommy. We'll see you on September
13th. That's the previous one.
Make sure May 16th is etched in everyone's mind, everywhere. Every video you make.
I think it might be different. I think it might pop off, as they say. And I'm worried about Tommy going to jail again for some bullshit. Oh, there I go swearing again. His list of crimes, what he actually did, if you actually look it up, it's exactly the same as Trump. 34 counts as a felon. Oh, that sounds really bad. I guess it's arson, rape, murder, child sex charges. They must be, and when you have that many, there's going to be like all the other criminals, right? When you look up a career criminal's rap sheet, there's a wide variety of horrific things. No, it's boring paperwork, lies, and garbage. And that's the same with Tommy. Right now, actually, He's doing a talk tonight in Gainesville, Florida, at the University of Florida. But when he goes back, which is in a couple weeks, he's facing 10 years. Why is he facing 10 years? Again, I know you're a parochial, you don't have a passport, you don't care about Britain, but this is relevant. He's facing 10 years because he had gotten so many threats. He's had 13 major threats on his life. I don't mean like someone's rude on Twitter. I mean the police by law. I think it's called Overton's Law.
Something like that, yeah.
Because someone was threatened and the police didn't tell him. And the guy was killed. So the police have come to his house 13 times and said, you have a credible threat. He's on the front page of the ISIS jihadist newsletter with a target on his face. So anyway, he's on the lam. He's with his wife and kids. He's got similar kids to me. And a reporter tracks him down, takes pictures of him, and doxes the hotel he's at. Like says what hotel he's staying at while there's everything short of an official fatwa out on him. So you're threatening my children's lives is what you're doing. And as I keep saying, you know, what jihad and left-wing liberal Karens have in common is they're happy to dox your house and put your children's safety in general. The mafia, in peril, in danger. The mafia, Bloods and Crips, if your kids are around, they will not shoot you. They'll wait till you're alone. Not liberals, not the Dems, not the media. They're happy to throw your kids into the wood chipper with you. That just shows they're demonic. So he showed the journalists, he sent the journalists privately, didn't make it public, a picture of his own house. And he said, how would you feel if I published this? Wouldn't that be?
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Before we get into Ireland, I'd just like to briefly get sexist, if I may, for a second. When I was in Britain, Tommy said, you know, this has always been kind of predominantly male movement, but we finally have the mums, finally have the women. It was dangerous, so women didn't want to go to rallies and get in a punch-up, and men didn't want them to either. I don't want to spend my time protecting you and not worrying about what's going on around me. But things calmed down a bit. I think Antifa started going to jail, and now women are involved. Dude, something is going on with boomer females. I guess it's handy when they're a Karen and they're like, you shouldn't be fishing here. Okay. A lot of guys are not handling their business. And it's good to have someone call out, you know, ne'er-do-wells, lunchtime rowdies, youths, whatever they're calling them now. But the entitlement is just insane. Like, at this event on Saturday, show pictures of you have a video of America First?
Yes.
You got to see this place. It's way the hell out. It's an hour from the city. But that's good because it means Antifa's not going to meet it there. And I'm not scared of Antifa, but I don't feel like fighting. But it is the coolest place. Whenever I go there, I go, Joe, that's the owner. I go, this place is a little drab. You considered sprucing it up a little bit? Like, one of the 5,000 things you see when you walk in there is, remember when Joe Biden wiped out on his bike? That's there, like in a corner, life-sized. He's got a mannequin in with like a bicycle helmet and a bike all collapsed. That's half of 1% of what is on that place. What is taking you so long?
Find a good one.
Find a good one. I sent a video going around when I was there. Tommy put a bunch up. Are you just looking on the internet?
Yeah, 1 second.
Well, did you say yes? I have one on my phone I could have sent you.
Okay.
So, what are we doing here? Hello? Oh, that's great, Sean. Thanks. Thanks for saying you had something when you didn't have it.
That's it there.
Oh, now I gotta go into my stupid phone and ruin the whole show. That's the guy who owns it. Library? Have you noticed your phone now finding anything is an absolute nightmare? Where have I got it now? Are you showing it while I look?
Yep.
No, you're not. You're showing a guy sitting in a chair. There we go. That's a good shot of it. Pretty over the top, huh? So anyway, we're there, and when you're doing an event, you don't want to sort of drain the chi, spoil the surprise by lounging around, especially because there was a meet and greet for him after the thing. So you want to have some oomph to the surprise. Hi, it's me. Rather than just be there in everyone's face. So we go to the green room. It's also, you want to store your chi. You don't want to be drained when you go on stage. And plus I get nervous before shows, so I like to pace and stuff. And these women just walk in. And they're standing there. Talking Tommy's ear off. I guess they're groupies, but like he's not interested. So eventually I go, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, well, sorry. She was British. I think she flew down for something. And I go, we're getting set up here. So like no one but security and, you know, people involved in the thing. Oh, right. Well, here's another example. I walk up and this woman, we're in a bit of a rush. We don't know if we're going to get jumped outside the event. I mean, Tommy and I have both been attacked at events like this. Pepper sprayed, everything. It's probably not going to happen way out on Long Island, but it's possible. So, you know, our head's on a swivel, and this woman just stops him. Oh, Tommy! It's like, oh, you're all right. He's overly polite. Him and, like, Ezra Levant, I don't like talking to people. But I guess they both are in activism, so they're constantly networking. I'm not looking for friends. Don't approach me if you see me in public. But he'll talk to people for like an hour. So she bumps into him and she drops a piece of paper. And he goes, oh, that's Joel's. And she goes, no, that's yours. It's your Wikipedia. I was just reading about you. I hadn't heard of you. What? Look, there's nothing wrong with not knowing who Tommy Robinson is. But why are you stopping a stranger after having just read about him on Wikipedia that you're carrying around in your hand? And she goes, you're a cute little guy. Are you in a dream? It's like lucid dreaming where you can just go up to anyone you want and slap them and take their glasses or whatever. And it's a pattern. And then talking in the audience. This other woman has her phone on. Like you're doing she's talking about girl rape and horrific stuff. I don't even know if I can say it on InfoWars, but raping young girls underneath the Pakistani flag, branding them on their buttocks, an M for Muhammad, nailing a girl's tongue to the table. The gangs there are like gangs everywhere, drugs, violence, all that stuff. They have names like the Gambinos, but also child rape. I don't know of any other world where that crime is added to normal gang life. Go talk to any biker gang in the country. That's not on their to-do list. But he's talking about stuff like that and his ringer goes off. Someone's ringer goes off. And then there was one guy, granted he wasn't a woman, he had two phones. One was filming the event. All right. Kind of uncool, but okay. And then the other, he's FaceTiming someone and talking about this loud. Yeah, we're here, there, the other. That loud. In the front row. I screamed at him. At one point I said to someone in the audience, I can still hear talking back there. I'm going to kill your entire family. I'm going to start with your estranged cousins and old co-workers and then move in on aunts and uncles and you'll be the last to go. So I guess Harris already covered. How much time do we have, Sean?
We've got 16 minutes.
Oh, good. Well, we will do Ireland. Ireland is popping off. Oh, yeah. Sorry, one thing I wanted to say about May 16th. I have a funny feeling that it's going to get violent. Now, to keep Tommy out of jail, he'll have to make clear, we do not want violence, or he'll get blamed for it. But I've heard that they're saying they're not going to leave, they're not going home. They're mad. I think when you're a huge country like America, you don't see the rage of being invaded. You become like a frog boiling in an oil. We don't even notice that we are losing 200 people a day to opioids, or that 20 blacks are killed by 20 blacks every day, because it's so big. You don't see it in front of you. But a smaller country like Britain, they see it. And the demonstration in September was fairly upset, but this one, they're really mad. So you better not get arrested for egging on the violence. Although Trump told them to be peaceful, and it didn't make them peaceful, right?
Yep.
I mean, sorry, it didn't make the media stop lynching him for promoting the violence. They call it his riot. They say he egged them on. In fact, Enrique Tarrio of the Proud Boys, the reason his sentence was so bad is because he refused to take a plea because it included blaming Trump for the violence and lying and saying that Trump told him to. If he had lied, he would have had nothing. So that'll be contentious. And now we move on to Ireland, where it's much smaller than Britain. So they are seeing this invasion. Now, it's called a fuel protest. Their fuel is about twice the price of ours. They've got to import most of it. And this war in Iran is making it worse for them. So the government should move in and take down some of these ridiculous taxes, at least temporarily, because farmers can't do their job. Truckers can't do their job. So I've always accused Ireland of being too woke. They remind me of my home country, Scotland. They hate Trump with a passion. If you wear a MAGA hat in Ireland, it's going down. But they seem to be waking up. This is like the trucker convoy, which, by the way, the trucker convoy in Canada, I think really, it was a major catalyst, and it pushed especially working class people to stand up and fight back. I don't think you could possibly overstate how valuable that convoy was. Last 24 hours, Irish parachutes have shut down the nation. Truck drivers, bus operators, and farmers have paralyzed cities with massive blockades. Even as Garda, that's the police, threatened 6 months in jail, more patriots flood the streets in defiance. Ireland is primed for revolution. You know what's insane about Ireland? Like, they have Black Lives Matter there, and blacks bitch about slavery. Irish were slaves. The Irish didn't have slaves. They were slaves. They were slaves in America. There's one place you can't argue about how horrible blacks were treated. It's Ireland. So it's going down. Conor McGregor opened his restaurant, gave everyone free stuff, free food and drink. I don't know, man. This could be good. Listen to this. This was some local farmer screaming at the police, saying Michael Collins, that's the guy who sort of started Ireland, created the IRA, he said he would have shot you all with a machine gun.
Betrayed the Irish people. You betrayed the sacred land that our forefathers fought. And you can smile. Go home with your fucking money.
Shame, oh, more bad words.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
No, I didn't slow on his smile because you don't know what to say.
At least my grandchildren will say he tried for Ireland. Michael Collins, if he was here, he'd have a machine gun on ye cunts.
Oh, jeez.
People of Ireland.
I should have checked the clips for rude words. No.
I can tell you that much. This is all over social media, and I'm telling you, the people of Ireland have enough of your traitorism.
Any pride.
You're no
so that's
Irish
good to
citizen.
See. The world's waking up. Although over in Australia, I think the world is going to sleep. Have you heard this Ben Robert Smith guy? So this is down in Australia. I think we have this problem too. There's a justice crisis going on in this country. These judges that we're getting now, they haven't even graduated law school. They're like magistrates. They were a clerk, a friend. Did you see this? Go to 4 or 5. I was talking about this guy last week. This is random criminal is appointed a judge. What are the criteria here? Pennsylvania ex-con, 27, who's been jailed 3 times, turns over a new leaf to become state's youngest ever judge. And, you know, here in New York, the NYPD, they'll settle a $5 million suit because the all-black jury is going to make it $20 million, $200 million, just out of tribalism. They don't care about justice. Juries are totally polluted in this country. Look at Alex Jones. Look at that case. Look at Tommy Robinson. So this is a Western problem. We invented justice really with the Magna Carta. We used to be at the top of the heap. Now we're drifting into third world levels of justice. So don't separate England, Ireland, and Australia from us. So this guy's a war hero, Ben Robert Smith, right? This is up to 3-6, Sean. And Australia was in Afghanistan. They put up these billboards all over Afghanistan in Arabic saying, did our gods do any war crimes? If so, let us know. Yes. Wait, that's 3-6?
There's a tweet above it. Do you want me to see the text?
No. Well, maybe.
Okay.
Go to 3-7 then.
Okay.
Because that's a good response to it. So he's accused of shooting an unarmed man. Look, war is hell. I'm sorry. He's also accused of Sparta-ing some guy. He was awarded the Victoria Cross for a single island. I talked to him last week, right?
Yep.
I spoke to an Afghan veteran who told me that the Australian government literally paid for billboards in Afghanistan, offering to pay random Afghans to come forward with war crime allegations. So look at this guy. He looks like a superhero, right? And so this happened 15 years ago. There's zero proof, but they say, well, a lot of his fellow Green Berets, whatever, special services guys, have testified against him.
Yeah.
Go to 3-6. Who exactly and what exactly did they say?
But I think what did it was the 21 former SAS and serving SAS soldiers that served with him that gave evidence against him.
Yeah, 21 of Ben Robert Smith's mates came out against him. That means he has to be guilty. That's sort of the argument that's being floated around, that because 21 SAS guys came out against Ben Robert Smith, you know, he must be guilty. We must take 21 guys' side against Ben Robert Smith. But that's not actually what happened. A lot of these guys didn't voluntarily come forward with testimony. They were coerced into doing so, either in the Brereton report or in the defamation trial where they were subpoenaed. And in actual fact, many of them didn't want to testify. In that defamation trial, one of the lead journalists there from Nine said, the great majority of these witnesses were subpoenaed by us and they didn't want to be here. They don't want to help us. And then a soldier from the same trial said in court, I still don't agree with the fact that Ben Robert Smith is here under extreme duress for killing bad dudes we went over there to kill. It's like this idea that's floating around of like 21 SAS guys being unable to sleep at night and just saying, oh, got to go and show the world what Ben Robert Smith did. It's not the full story. But the full story is even more clouded than that because the prosecutor doesn't really have much more evidence than this. They've gone on record to say that it's really just the testimonies they're relying on. And that could get you past the line in a defamation case. But in a criminal case, which is what we are now going to be in with Ben Robert Smith, that has to be beyond reasonable doubt. If all you're going off is testimonies and no like physical evidence, no autopsies, fragment analysis, whatever it is, it's going to be very hard to prove there's no other explanation or alibi, etc. And maybe the AFP or the special investigator, whatever, have some secret evidence they haven't alluded to at all yet. But fundamentally, Ben Robert Smith is innocent until proven guilty. And what a lot of people aren't picking up on is the level of witch hunting that is being done against him, particularly
by... We get it. 3-8. I'm going to bring this back to America. I'm always self-conscious here when I talk to Americans about any other country because they always roll their eyes. And I'm the same way about the non-West. I couldn't care less about a mudslide in Sri Lanka. But we're all interlinked. And I'm going to show you why in a second. That's them arresting him. Now, it doesn't really make sense to blur his face. He's everywhere. Go to 3-9. They said he kicked Ali Jan in the chest, sending him falling backwards over a cliff before he landed on the ground. They said that he ordered another soldier to shoot him dead. They say he was involved in the death of Afghan nationals. The victims were not taking part in hostilities at the time of their murder. I don't know. You sent him to go kill people and you don't like the way he killed people. And you really hunted for examples of that. We're out of Afghanistan. It was a complete disaster. We deeply regret going there. We deeply regret Syria. We deeply regret Iraq. But as of today, Iran's just fine. Thanks. So go to 4-1. So that's far away, right? It's a good 20-hour plane ride away. It doesn't concern me. Well, Tommy Robinson is a 6-hour plane ride away. That's as close as the Canadian border. Montreal is 6 hours away from here. We're getting closer. So what is this here?
April 5th, 2016.
Oh, yeah,
this is an idyllic Southern California spring day. As I am walking out to take the kitchen garbage out, I turn around the corner and pass a big white windowless van. All of a sudden, the door swings open and this tall uniformed guy steps out, and he has a piece of paper in his hands, and he says, "Are you David DeLeiden?" And he says, "I'm with the California Department of Justice. We have a search warrant for your home." And he hands me the warrant, and I think to myself, oh gosh, you know, what's going to happen next? So about five or six California DOJ agents started stomping through my apartment. The other five of them standing on the lawn outside. Some of them were armed with AR-15s. Some of them had canine dogs with them. They had come for me. In 2013, I began and orchestrated an almost three-year-long, very in-depth, comprehensive investigative journalism study about the harvesting and trafficking of body parts from late-term abortions. There's multiple violations and multiple issues that you very quickly start to learn about when you look into it. There's the basic problem of selling body parts, where you're basically creating a system, creating transactions, creating business relationships that incentivize the objectification and the destruction of human beings in order to keep the business going. So for about 30 months, we went undercover with the explicit purpose of partnering with some of the biggest Planned Parenthood abortion clinics in the country to send their technicians in, harvest body parts from the abortions that were being done that day, and then package up the parts and ship them off to different customers all around the country, sometimes around the world. In July of 2015, we began to release the undercover video series. I had been hoping that this was something that would, you know, that would maybe generate 100,000 views or something. Instead, what happened was even bigger than I could have imagined. Within less than a week, we had close to 3 million views on YouTube of the first video, and multiple congressional committees announcing that they were launching federal investigations of Planned Parenthood's involvement in fetal trafficking and fetal experimentation. The truth got out there, and the words of Planned Parenthood's own leadership describing their organization's participation in these activities went viral and was being publicized for the whole world to see. Looking back on it from the information that we know now, I now know what was going on was that Kamala Harris, at the explicit instruction of Planned Parenthood, had targeted me and me alone among all undercover video news gatherers in the state of California to enforce the California video recording law against me and to punish me for speaking the truth about her powerful campaign donors at Planned Parenthood.
Okay, so we get the idea that that's worth looking into. They harassed him, they almost killed him, they tried to jail him, and it was all for speaking truth to power, as the left keeps saying. And yes, that was 2013. This is James O'Keefe's life. This is why he says, "My price is my life." This is what he does for a living. Live that guy's terror. Took 11 years defending himself over one story. This is what they do. People who hold them accountable. Nobody is held accountable because the people who have the power to do so are afraid of the retaliation. David's different. His love of the truth. And then it says final charge dismissed against David DeLeiden for exposing Planned Parenthood. So that's April 2nd. And this, he released this information, began his investigation 2013. Over 10 years of persecution for this guy. So while we mock Australia and mock Ireland and mock Britain as being totalitarian states and we're free here, we're not. Look at, and there's two-tier justice here. Look at this, 4-3. Apparently, if you're a person of color and you vote Democrat, you can run over cops. That's perfectly reasonable. She boss don't need no chemistry. A good deke on that guy, huh? Yeah. Very athletic. So, in Charlotte, North Carolina, woman rams cop with car, gets $3,000 bond, leaves jail, gets indicted for assault, deadly weapon, still no jail. Same woman rams second man with car 3 weeks later, gets $10,000 bond, leaves jail, currently walking free. So what is the pattern here? We have two-tier justice. We don't prosecute blacks because it's embarrassing and they vote Democrat. And when they're on a jury, 4-4, we don't get justice. So We have a justice problem in the Western world, and it's just as bad here as it is everywhere else. Oh, this case was grim. I mean, you've seen this one, I assume, right?
You got 1 minute, just so you know.
Zoom out?
Yeah.
I will keep it light when I come back. Jury trials don't work because they no longer trials are justice-minded peers, but rather ethnic headcounts that are determined by the in-group preference of the jurors. Particularly black and Hispanic jurors show a notable tendency to side with their ethnic group against the evidence of the case in an interracial one. I read, too, that whites tend to overcorrect and be harder on white perps because they don't want to show bias, whereas the tribalism works the normal way with everyone else. And the common thread here, too, is look at the victims. Like, while everyone's calling Tommy Robinson a Zionist and a Jew lover and all that, he's out there trying to stop girls getting raped in Britain, and they are getting raped to the tune of thousands. That child was murdered, and the jury went soft on him because of tribalism. Half the time, the judges are black, and they feel like they have to protect a brother. That seems to be the pattern, I'm afraid. So, I don't know what we do about this. We've got to reboot the justice system in the Western world.
I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue. Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up.
This stuff works.
Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month. But we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive. But if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So, we're selling 3 emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and 2 others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get 1 or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
What's this? Oh, I've got Power Plant. Oh, what's this? I've got Methyl Drive, the 2 ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them.
pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
So I guess we were talking about racism, in a sense. I mean, you're talking about justice failure, and we have a white war hero being persecuted for doing nothing, and then we have people of color allowed to run over cops and kill dads because of their race. Canada's talking right now about codifying into law race-based sentencing. In other words, whites get much harsher sentences than blacks because they know not what they do. That's illegal. How are we going back in time? How were we more civilized in 1979 than we are today? How are we so much dumber? Why are we wearing Crocs and pajamas all the time? So let's confront this. Let's discuss racism for a little bit.
I'm a black female. What other difference? What else could I have done to piss you off?
Black woman?
It is a dream.
This is really inconvenient.
Don't raise it!
I have a dream.
Black Betty, bam, lamb. Whoa, Black Betty, bam, lamb. Black Betty had a child, bam, lamb. The damn thing gone wild.
I saw, maybe we should start with 6ix9ine. That's a sexy number. I saw this video about this kid who had to wear special shoes. And he seems like a great kid. He's 7 feet tall. His shoes are Nike and, forget who else refused to make him his own shoes. But, Under Armour came in. And so he loves Under Armour. Wait, is that 6ix9ine?
6ix9ine.
Okay, go to 6'8" then. Spoiler alert. So it's a cute little, you know, local news piece about how Under Armour came in and they made it. His shoes are insane. They're in the Guinness Book of World Records. That's what I think this is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Eric Kilburn Jr. And you go, what an all-American kid. I mean, I feel like it's kind of unfortunate to be made that huge, you know, like you can't sit on a plane and it's inconvenient, but it's a heartwarming story. Click on the link. Maybe there's a video there. Go down a bit. Yeah, okay, Bigfoot guy. Don't show me your gross feet, dude. Okay, enough. This foot fetish site? So there's no video there.
Doesn't look like it.
Oh, shoot. I should have included it. But then, anyway, I'm doom-scrolling so much, I see this other kid. And I go, that looks like the cute kid who got the shoes made by Under Armour. It's such an all-American story. And I think, is this what our culture is? Is this how polluted our culture has become, that this all-American quarterback, this 7-foot-tall Guinness Book of World Records super kid sponsored by Under Armour, is speaking in Ebonics and talking about how he's GD, which I believe means I'm in the Gangster's Disciples, which is one of the most violent gangs in America, which you clearly are not in. I've never seen a non-black member. I ask Grok, and Grok says, yeah, that's the same kid.
What's going on, man? You like to call people niggers or what?
Oh, wait, bad word.
You got that fucking Glock on you or what?
Yeah, man, I got the brick.
Damn, you got that money, gang. I ain't gonna lie, bro. If you get into a little bad bitch, she might suck your dick.
Fail. I hate niggas.
You said what?
Again, with the clips, I've got the... I think we get... Let's let it go a little bit longer.
I'll show you my fucking bitch.
No, what you saying?
Oh, my stars.
It's my girl. Get right, nigga.
What?
You don't fucking don't be like...
Okay, anyway, sorry. I keep forgetting you can't swear on this. Yeah, he uses the N-word repeatedly, talks about how hot his girl is, shows the hundreds of dollars in his pocket. He doesn't pull out a gun, but he alludes to having one. And then says he's in the Gangster's Disciples. So this garbage culture has permeated every part of our life. And it just creates more animosity. It's not a good thing. And now you have these kids that get told they suck and they're the most horrible culture on earth. So then they adopt a non-white culture and they end up with that terrible culture, gang culture. But this is what drives them there. Listen to this guy discussing what white people are like.
Nastiest, most disgusting, vile creatures on the planet. You might have one or two white people out of a million that might be okay. Being white means we don't have to show you our ugliness, but we're going to make sure we show you the ugliness of everyone else. Like, what?
Wait,
white
pause.
People...
Being white means we don't have to show you our ugliness. What are kids exposed to in kindergarten through college? I wouldn't be surprised if this very video was in a class. This could be, if you wrote this out as an essay, it would be a totally mainstream, well-accepted academic essay that your daughter and son would be told to memorize and submit a book report on. So what are you talking about? You're only allowed to show the ugliness of other people? I'm probably going to get in trouble for even showing this segment. And I live behind a paywall where you have to give your credit card and your address and a secret password to hear my evil thoughts. And I'm the only one saying it out of a few others. As far as mainstream news go, no one is saying this.
To believe is that everybody else is ugly and we're
what?
The only pretty one. We're the only good ones. And even if you point out our ugliness, we're just going to go bypass that.
Oh, no, that's not true.
Donald Trump can look at you with a straight face and say, I'm not in the Epstein files, and you'll believe it. Donald
Wait,
Trump
pause.
Can tell you, I'm not.
Pause. This guy's so thick. And we didn't say we're prettier than you. Everyone talks about how beautiful Lizzo is, and every movie and TV show has the white guy, Spider-Man, sees a black girl, and he's like Zendaya, and he's like, wow, she's perfect. And black women do nothing but wear white-like hair. Asians, Indians, anything but black hair. So I'm not doing this. You are.
Not going to go to war with Iran. Then when he go to war with Iran, oh, we had to do it to save people. America
no,
just...
pause. First of all, I'm one of the only people left who is still on the Trump train. Everyone is furious with him about this. And what was the previous one he said?
Epstein.
Oh, yeah. You don't know what the Epstein files are. You don't realize that when Trump takes one of his planes and doesn't go near the island, it still counts as being in the Epstein files. Every allegation against him that someone randomly makes as sends in an email, that's now in the Epstein files. So no matter what's submitted, it gets in. It includes everything. Does this guy think he was on the island?
No.
I think the mainstream left believes that he's a pedophile.
Sepsis. It's hard to say that white people are good. The nastiest, most disgusting.
Can you, like the fact that that clip exists and can go viral and is on a talk show disproves it. It is literally impossible to imagine me saying that or you saying that or anyone saying that about blacks. Can you imagine? Like that, you'd think you're some bizarre KKK site that no one else is allowed to see. I thought, and this is again universal. I would include South Africa in the West, at least a long time ago. They have Western values. The Boers are essentially Europeans that evolved to be Africans. But look at this switcheroo piece.
As a white South African, I just want to tell you what I miss about the old South Africa, the pre-democracy South Africa, because I saw this video come up with shots of Joburg in 1980, and it made me think about how much South Africa has lost since those days. So if you know any white South Africans, please send them this video. I would love to know what they think about what I miss about the old South Africa. I do get a bit emotional talking about this stuff. I do get really nostalgic. So please forgive me if I get emotional. Number five on the things I miss about the old South Africa is Dulcie September. Dulcie was from Cape Town. She trained as a teacher before joining various anti-apartheid organizations. She went into exile in London in the 1970s, and she ended up working for the UN and various NGOs NGOs campaigning for women's and children's rights. She then became the ANC's representative in Paris, where she was shot dead in March 1988, probably by an apartheid government operative, although her murder has never been solved. Dulcy, the street where you were killed is now named after you. We miss you. We wish you were still here. And you will never be forgotten. The four on the list of things I miss about the old South Africa are the Craddock Four. I know there are four of them, but I'm counting them as one for this video. The Craddock Four were Sekelo Mhlauli, Fort Kalata, Matthew Goniwe, and Sparrow Mkonto. These guys were community organizers. They were dynamic, interesting leaders in the anti-apartheid movement in the town of Craddock. They were abducted from a roadblock. They were tortured, stabbed, and murdered.
See, this, and you could blame the Jews for South Africa, whatever floats your boat, but, it's a white trait. I don't know what it is. I don't know why the Lord put us that microchip in us, but we need to self-hate. So this guy is talking about how horrific apartheid was. He pretends that he likes old South Africa better when it worked. South Africa was not a whites-only community that outlawed blacks. It was nothing. It was abandoned. It was, no one was there. It's really rugged land. Boers, who were a very unique group, think of them as Amish. Okay? Instead of writing Amish only, they wrote whites only. It was just a given that they meant Boers. So apartheid was a Boers only community. And they hated the British. The British fought them and killed them. The Brits committed genocide against the Boers. So this group, pretend they're black if that helps. This group carved out some land for themselves, right? And just like the child's fable, if you weren't there to bake the bread, you can't have any of the bread. So they created a white Wakanda out of nothing, and then people wanted to come in. Now, they should have said Boers only, non-Boers, whatever. That would have been easier for people to understand, but they mistakenly said whites and blacks. And so, thanks to the guy from Bruce Springsteen, Sal, right? What's his name there? Stevens?
Steve Van Zandt.
He wrote the song Sun City, and they boycotted South Africa, and they changed that Boer law. And this is South Africa today. Let's check in on what's happened to that country since the Boers weren't allowed to guard their own land. It's, spoiler alert, it's become a hellhole.
You own the building?
No.
Yeah, so don't ask me. This building. This building belongs to the city, to my understanding. And as you can see, it's hijacked.
This is pretty insane, eh?
Yeah. This is how they live. Nobody pay rent or anything.
It's post-apocalyptic.
Do you know roughly how many people live in this place?
No, I wouldn't be able to say that. A lot of criminals live here. All the buildings are the same. The same dynamics.
Pretty much.
Bed, no one paying, hijacked. It's all the same.
Oh my, that's probably goes down to the basement or something.
Yeah, that's the basement. When they rob people, they like running in this building also.
Ooh, hello.
Hello.
Oh my God.
How are you?
I'm pretty hungry.
Do you live here?
Yeah.
Wow, my word. How long has this building been like this for?
Long, bro. Very long.
Is it okay if I come in?
Imagine looking at that and going, well, at least they're free. At least we have freedom now. Thank God bless those activists that liberated us from Boer oppression. Isn't it amazing? Okay, last one. I was talking earlier about how the Brits have been kicked out of 90 countries. This was an interesting little sketch this guy did where he refused to apologize for his great-grandfather's crimes. But then, guess who makes an appearance at the end?
I just think we feel guilty and we're in no position to ask for favors due to the fact that we did colonize most of the world.
I do want to be clear, I didn't do any of the colonizing myself. It was my great-granddad, so have a go at him, okay? It wasn't my fault.
Great-granddad here. I'll be honest, I enjoyed every second of it, so, sorry, not sorry. Back to you, old boy.
So what's the takeaway here? I think that when you're right, you have to fight. You know, if there's a lot of people think children should be sexualized, No, we're not doing that. Well, you know, what about their rights? What about their constitutional rights? Like, here's a great example. In Quebec, I was talking about this all weekend. The Muslims were praying en masse. Okay, we have freedom of religion here, right? Canada's pretty much the same rules as America when it comes to that. And give them an inch, they take a mile, and they started doing what they're doing all over the Western world, which is praying everywhere. When I went to Jerusalem to see the birthplace of Jesus Christ, it has a massive iron fence around it with spikes because Muslims have completely surrounded it. It's a tiny island surrounded by hundreds of Muslims. And what are they doing there? The call to prayer. That deafening, crappy loudspeakers playing their cacophonous prayers. And they all get down and it's a show of force. You've got to sort of move around them to get to the birthplace of Christ. And it's the same all over Britain. They take over entire roads. Why wouldn't you choose a park? Why wouldn't you choose one of the many mosques that has completely taken over London? Because you're showing force. And by the way, we're seeing this right here in your state of Texas. I forget the number, but there's something like 800 mosques built in Texas in the past few years. They're really coming after Texas hard. And that's something you see with Islam where they'll say, oh, they're only 1% of America. Yeah, they're not spreading thin. They're taking over areas. Oh, they're only 6% of Britain. Yeah, go to Luton. Go to Birmingham. You'll see cities that are no longer British at all. They're even the kids have their own accent now, the Muslim kids. So in Quebec, they said, no, they went down to the Notre Dame Cathedral in Old Montreal. It's one of the most beautiful churches in the world. And Quebec's very different than the rest of Canada. It's like 400 years old. So Old Montreal is literally hundreds and hundreds of years old. It's much older than America. Whereas Canada, they got their national anthem in 1980 and their flag in 1970. It's a brand new country. And Quebec just said, no, you're not doing that. You need permission to pray. You need forms. And it's not going to be good for you if you're Muslim. We know what you're doing, and we're overriding it. Just like the Chinese coming here and having babies. Yes, we have birthright citizenship. You're abusing that law. We're changing that law. Why? Because I'm right and you're wrong. You're taking advantage of my altruism. You're taking advantage of my good nature. And rather than lie there and be trampled on, I'm saying, no, we're taking it back. You're not having a baby here, and you're not taking advantage of us, and you're not showing off to the rest of the world that I'm your bitch. So no more praying here. That's the future of America. That's the only future for the West. Because when you're not the boss, when you don't flex your muscles like we're doing in Iran, when you don't punch someone out as a shot caller in prison, then someone else becomes the head of the prison, and they're going to do a much worse job. And you know what a great example of that is? Feminism. We freed women. I said this on Twitter a few hours ago. We freed women from the kitchen, and where do they go? To a smaller kitchen in a van by the river alone that breaks down. And what do? They vlog. And when they really need gas money, they do OnlyFans. Welcome to the freedom. Let's do a little segment on feminism, Sean.
Okay.
And we'll talk about women left to their own devices, because it's not good. And wait, before you start this, I want to make clear, I'm not a sexist. I love women. I adore them. But I adore them in their natural state. I adore them as, you know, boys will be boys, kind kindergarten teachers that like their place in life. I love them as housewives. I love them as moms. I love them as feminine creatures. And they don't do well with power. They don't do well when left to their own devices. And they don't do well in the workforce. Generally, they tend to cheat on their husbands. Anyway,
Who here identifies as a feminist?
We are the storm, the very form of change that the world has been waiting for.
You said I was too pretty to fight.
And that's toxic masculinity. You don't realize how your behavior is harmful.
Okay, so we freed you from the kitchen. You live in a van. You do OnlyFans and vlog. How about we rent you out this giant hall in a hotel? What do you want to do? We want to have a sensual chest rubbing seminar. Okay. This is what you do with your freedom. sorry, NSFW here. There are no actual nudes, I believe. But look how unbelievably retarded this is. Talk about retard maxing. Let that coochie breathe. Shake that ass, bitch. Hands on your knee. It's not even sexual. They can't even do sex right. Like, the whole burlesque thing. Is there anything less sexy than burlesque? It's basically Chippendales to me. It's gay men dancing around. That's what burlesque is. What is feeding strawberries? What are you doing? Here, let's check in politics. Okay, that's it. Politics is it's generally a male subject. It's about systems and numbers. 2 million illegals in America is not a big deal. 40 million, we have a problem. That's boring number stuff. But, you know, come on in, ladies. The water's fine. Let's see how you handle politics.
What do you not like about white people?
One, they breathe. Two, they speak. Three, they have thoughts. And all of it just needs to stop. We need women in power. We need people who are not white in power. We're done with the white men. We're done.
What is skin color?
Like South Africa?
Do with it.
By the way, you know you're white, right?
Why do you need less white people in power?
Inclusion.
People who help.
Isn't the majority of the world not white? Why do the minority of countries that are white have to be not white?
They just keep on making rules about things that don't pertain to them.
What non-white country are you
like
looking
abortion?
At saying, hey, you know, they're doing it right because they don't have white people? Which one is it, in your view?
I don't know. That's the dumbest question. Ignore.
Well, no, if they're the problem, they're obviously...
Wait, pause. The confidence thing is crazy to me. Like, it's not even conceivable to her that she's not the smartest person in the world. Just like the woman walking into the green room on Saturday night, or stopping Tommy on the way to the venue, or even when we walk to the venue, I am the guy hosting this show on Saturday night. And there's a woman standing by the door. She's like 40. And I go, hello. She's like, hello. And I go, trying to get through here. And I have to like move around her. Like, they talk about man spreading. Have you been outside? Every bar, every train seat, women take their purse, which they spent 4 months' wages on because women aren't good at their own pocketbooks, and they put the purse in the chair next to them. That isn't spreading? Go ahead.
That are the solution. Who's the solution? Who's doing it right?
Women.
Women are.
Look at Mexico. Fine. You can look at, you know, anything.
Mexico's like a narco state.
Jasmine Crockett.
Huh? Isn't Mexico like a narco state, though?
They got one bad area. My God.
I mean,
the whole thing is bad.
No, it's a beautiful country, but you don't.
No, it's not.
It's a one bad area in Mexico?
Yes.
So, Mexico is our goal. South Africa and Mexico is where the left wants us to end up. Okay. I don't want to do that. Okay, two more. I hope we have time. Okay, let's quickly go through. Women should not be in control. This is an inch. Okay, we got to squeeze this in. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I will never agree with the path you took.
Then take it yourself. If what I do is so easy, do it.
I have my degree.
Okay.
Okay, I'll speak. So he's a computer programmer, and he makes, I don't know, 120 a year. She's a funeral director. She makes like 40, and that's totally unfair. And that's why she doesn't, that's her husband, by the way. That's why she doesn't agree with the path that he took. Funeral directing is, I'm not going to say it's easy, but it's something that pretty much anyone can do. Just be able to deal with death and be polite and quiet to people who are mourning. Computer programming, what? 2% of the world can do that? Maybe less? I can't. You can't. It's hard. So you get paid more because it's a rare skill. Remember the MLB pitches? And she doesn't understand that. Like, that's the problem with a lot of the liberal brain in general, I'd say, is this equality of outcomes. Like, I went to school, I studied a thing, you went to school, you studied a thing, now we both do things, so we should get the same amount of money. That's a great idea, Mao. Way to crack the code. And that moronic thinking is female thinking, and it's all over the male brain these days, which is why we have Zoran Mamdani furious that white New Yorkers make $200K and black New Yorkers make $20K. No, dude. The latter group is living off the former group who are paying 80% of the taxes, probably for the whole state, and the rest of, and Section 8, where the other 20,000 a year people live. So the moral of the story is don't let them control everything. We have to bring back the patriarchy. We are in control of the world, not because we want to boss you around, but because every time we give you the steering wheel, you crashes into a ditch. So get back in the passenger seat. I'll be driving from now on, and I don't want to hear any more talk about crushing the patriarchy. It's the only thing keeping both of us alive. I'm not going to let you turn my world into an abandoned building in Johannesburg full of rats and feces. It's been a pleasure. See you next time, guys. I like you more than a friend. Get fired, get in trouble, be brave, and never stop.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors, and that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and your being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.